Hello and welcome to WGTC Radio, the official podcast of entertainment website We Got This Covered. I'm Jonathan Lack.
And I'm Sean Chapman.
And we are both exhausted and sleep deprived for different reasons. Sean, yes. Because of?
E3. Oh, God. E3.
All right, so this is going to be one of those episodes where we talk about video game news, because this has been kind of a big year for that so far.
New consoles, yeah, the end of, like, this great 8-year cycle that we have been in.
Yeah, we have not covered E3 on WGTC Radio before, but basically what we're doing this week is we are recording this Tuesday afternoon at about 3 o'clock, so everything that's come out up to now, Sean's been following.
Yeah.
Sean's been following intently. I have been following to my own degree, but Sean's leading this one. So we're going to cover all of the big stuff there, or at least all the stuff that interests us for this podcast. And is of interest, and with what we've previously talked about. So if you've heard our PS4 announcement podcast we did, or our Xbox One announcement reveal kind of thing, the podcast we did recapping that, same idea, but there's just a lot more variety.
Yeah, like we're basically going to be talking about the major press conferences that all happened on Monday, which is yesterday from when we're recording this.
Yep.
And then also the Nintendo Direct that happened this morning.
And, you know, if you...
At like 8 in the morning, those motherfuckers.
Yeah, I know. It was so weird. I got up to the apartment today because I had a class and I had to go to the class, and then I came in just to drop some stuff off, and Sean was awake at 8 in the morning. I was like, what the fuck?
I mean, I've been getting up that early recently anyway.
Oh, okay.
But still, it's fucked up. Like, I don't want to get up that early and then watch a press conference.
Yeah.
Well, the Nintendo Direct sucked anyways, but
we'll talk about that. In any case, if you have not been following E3, don't worry, we'll give you all the details. This can be a nice just news refresher in case you missed everything.
Yeah.
So, that should be nice. Before we get started, we are pushing a lot of stuff we would have talked about to next week's and stuff, just because E3, we kind of under-anticipated it, I think, to a certain degree.
Yeah, and I thought that the press conferences were happening on Tuesday and not Monday, so like, when those came around, I was like, oh, fuck.
Which is also kind of why we pushed back recording this, because we usually release these on Mondays. That might be changing. We'll talk about that soon. Might be a little later in the week. But in any case, yeah, so we're talking about all that. But we were going to cover some Superman stuff, previewing Man of Steel this week.
Mm-hmm.
But if we do any of that, we will roll it in at the Man of Steel discussion next week.
Talk about Superman all at one time.
Yeah, and you know, we can talk about the movie. There'll be lots to talk about. Big release. You know, if you've listened to our previous discussions, make sure you go see the movie, then you can listen to our take. And you know, maybe at the end we'll talk about some of Superman the Animated Series. I actually went out to Best Buy this week. They had them all on sale, the volumes of the animated show, for $10. I picked up 1 and 2. That show has a great pilot.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it's a really nice take on the Krypton origin story.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim Daly is awesome. Yeah, but anyway,
they wrap up like Brainiac into that in a really cool way.
It's really interesting.
Clever.
So we'll talk about some of that next week. We will talk about the just-released trailer for The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, because that's playing in front of Man of Steel. And we will probably push back any discussion of classic Doctor Who, which we were planning for this week, to either next week or the week after. So again, our first classic Who discussion will be the Aztecs and An Unearthly Child. Just the pilot episode. So get to those in due time. We just didn't have time this week.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of Man of Steel, I saw it last night. It's fantastic. We're not going to talk about it here because Sean doesn't want to be spoiled on anything or anything. So if you want to read more about Man of Steel right now, my review is up on We Got This Covered. If I'm incoherent at any point on this podcast, that is because I was up till like 3:30 finishing it and then posting it. So, yeah, it took a lot of writing, but it's out. People like the review. It's getting lots of hits. So go read it. There are no spoilers. 99% spoiler free. So if you don't want to, you know,
that 1% is really important. That part where his parents and his like whole planet explodes and he lands on Earth, like that's holy shit, dude.
Yeah, that's the 1% I have to say. Yeah,
you had to spoil like that whole thing. Clark Kent becomes Superman. Who knew?
Yes.
Jesus.
All right. So yes, you can go read my Man of Steel review right now up on We Got This Covered. If you are interested, we will talk about that movie in depth next week. We may talk about some other stuff as well, but for now, Sean, I'm going to kick it over to you. We're going to talk E3. Where do you want to start?
Okay, we actually need to start pre-E3, because this kind of shit...
Once upon a time.
Yeah. Back when I was doing stuff that wasn't just sitting on a couch at my laptop staring at a screen for basically the entire day. Yeah, with Microsoft, you know, after their big reveal, like, they were really cagey to the press about... how their use game policy stuff worked, how their always online stuff worked, and it's like they had like a million different answers. We talked about that.
Connect also.
Yeah, Connect, that shit. Nobody knew, like, do you have to have it plugged in? Is it always listening to us? Is it just spying on me? Is my Xbox going to try to kill me in my sleep?
Does it recognize nudity and just film when that happens?
It does recognize facial expressions and your heart rate, which is still fucking
so
creepy.
If you were getting oral sex, it could totally catch that.
Yeah. Presumably, Microsoft could write some sort of software program that registers, like, okay, this is, like, the average facial expression of someone receiving oral sex. This is the average heart rate, like, increase of someone who's receiving oral sex. There you go. They do.
And then at the next E3, they say, 53% of people play Halo while getting blowjobs.
And then, you know, they Skype a call to Don Matrick that, like, you're not aware of, so he can just watch Xbox users as they receive oral sex. Like, I'm pretty sure that's the intent of the Xbox One.
This is a great start to the podcast.
Anyways, all that's whatever. That's all bullshit, but it's probably not. Microsoft, before E3, like, they released an official press release on Xbox.com that was like, okay, we really fucked up at our reveal event. Here's how shit is. We want to get this stuff out of the way before we come to E3. So they detailed their always online policies, their use games policy, and then talked about their Kinect stuff. And I guess we just like, so I think that's where we need to start addressing that and talking about that, because that's a really important part of what happened at E3. So first of all, the always online with the Xbox One is it needs to check in every 24 hours, which most of this stuff is basically more or less what was said after the Xbox One reveal event, that Microsoft was like, no, none of that stuff's true. Then a couple of weeks later, I'm like, yeah, all that stuff was, that was more or less exactly what it is. So yeah, the Xbox One, since you need to install games and games are tied to your account, it also has to verify your account to Microsoft servers at least once every 24 hours.
And you
need to do that to play games. Like, you don't if you want to play Blu-ray movies or DVD movies, though. So
yay.
If you don't have an internet connection and you're looking for a really expensive Blu-ray or DVD player, the Xbox One is for you.
Yes.
But yeah, so if you don't have an internet connection, one, you're probably not listening to this, and two, stay the fuck away from the Xbox One. And if you also are someone who travels a lot and those, so you're like, internet connection is unreliable, Xbox One, not fucking for you. If you're in like the massive emerging markets of South America and certain areas of like Africa and stuff like that where internet is completely unreliable, or if you're, you know, if you're in service in the military and thus in Afghanistan where you don't really have internet, the Xbox One is like, go fuck yourself, basically.
Are you speaking, Sean, of those mythical territories of expansion Microsoft might want to push into one day?
Something like the 10% of, like, it was... Yeah, Microsoft, it's dumb. It's
okay,
so
let's just talk about all these after we recap them. One last thing about Always One, they do say there may be games that require a persistent, constant internet connection.
Well, yeah, I mean, because they have, one of the things about the Xbox One is, one of the bullshit things about the Xbox One is their reliance on the cloud. And I am so looking forward to the next 10 years of my life where every time fucking Microsoft says anything, it's all cloud this and cloud that, like saying, like, everything's in the cloud and the cloud solves all your problems. We're just going to run everything in our games off the cloud, except for we're not going to be able to do, like, any of that stuff. Like, they're...
All right, well,
so, yeah,
use game policy.
Yeah, okay. Move on to the use games policy. It's
like a page and a half.
Yeah, it's a lot. And here's one of the biggest problems with the used games policy is that I have no idea. So you have to install the data on your disc to the Xbox One in order to play it. After that, your disc's a fucking coaster or a frisbee, like, just throw it away because it's useless. Everything, you just, like, play the game off of your hard drive, and since that basically makes discs completely pointless since you have to have an internet connection for the console. Anyways, every single game is completely digital. Think of it as it's being completely digital, effectively, which more or less kills the used game market, except...
This is so weird.
Except they're, like, to sort of Microsoft trying to sidestep it. They have these, like, weird policies of, like, some publishers can elect to have their games be allowed to be traded in at select retailers that participate, where they will sort of, like, wipe that you've, like, tied a game file to your account, like, with the disc. They'll, like, wipe that off, so presumably, like, GameStop would have a machine or something where they would do that behind the counter, and so then they can resell the game to one other person that then has to go through that process. Or if you want to lend your game to somebody, that person has to have been on your Xbox Live's friends list for 30 days, and you can only do that once. And I think that means that you can only, for the game. Like, if that game has been lended once, I think that's it. Like, the game can no longer be lended again. But it's kind of...
Which sometimes happens in the real life when you lend it to your friend and your friend never gives it back to you.
Yeah, like my copy of Majora's Mask, Andre, you motherfucker. Never gonna fucking...
But the difference is, it does not, stop existing.
It's so fucking complicated. They have, all these goddamn bullet points where
one of the ones for me that I noticed was because this is one I had been looking at because my brother and I, game a lot together on Xbox, that there are, you can give people family access to your games. Like, designate this person's family member, but we don't know.
We should, you shouldn't say that, because what they say, I don't know if I can find the specific thing, it was basically that there can be, 10 other accounts, family members that can play the game, but they go into absolutely no specifics whatsoever as to what that is and how that works.
I know, and that's
Yeah, it says, give your family access to your entire games library anytime, anywhere. Xbox One will enable new forms of access for families. Up to 10 members of your family can log in and play from your shared games library on any Xbox One. Just like today, I love that this has to be a fucking bullet point. Just like today, a family member can play your copy of Forza Motorsport at a friend's house. So it's just like today, your family can play the games that you own because that's how things work.
That's, property.
Yeah. I just like how they have to always point these things out. Only now they will not see not just Forza, but all of your shared games. You can always play your games, and any of your family members can be playing from your shared library at a given time.
So here's my question, Sean.
Yes.
Lots
of questions in that
bullet point. Biggest one I want to know, and I know this sounds trivial, but I don't think it's trivial. How are they defining the word play? That's what I want to know.
That's the problem with all this entire bullet point is that they do not define what they mean by family member, because while in real life that's really really easy to justify, okay, that's who my family is, but in terms of assigning digital rights to somebody, family members, that's such a specific term that it's do they have is it because you and your brother would presumably both want to have your own Xbox Live Gold accounts, assuming you had Xbox Ones. But would, the family thing then have to be, one account is a sub-account to another account?
Which is actually...
Could you daisy-chain all these motherfuckers together,
I can tell you right now, Thomas and I, my brother, we both have separate Xbox Live Gold accounts, but we pay for them as a family account.
Xbox is getting rid of that, or I think they have basically gotten rid of it.
Oh, that's too bad. I know I can still renew it if I want to, but...
Yeah, but I don't think you can, initiate it now.
Yeah. So in any case, that gives us a small discount, and... But it also does daisy chain us together, and my account is designated as the primary one, and if Thomas wants to make purchases, he has to go through me and then has to gift points from me to him. So it's a clusterfuck as it is.
Yeah, because I haven't done that family account thing, so that might be more or less how it works. I don't know. They don't define family members. They have this, shared games. They use that term several times, and I don't know... If that's you determine what games are shared games, if only some games can be shared games,
how
can 10 people be playing the games at the same time?
What it would ideally be is something and this is a little different because we have to share one sole account, but Thomas and I also, for instance, share an iTunes account, which is where it's really my account, but I just let for his iTunes music app and stuff like that, he signs into it so we can share our big music library that's in the cloud. And also for TV purchases and stuff, if you buy it, anyone who has access to that account can, download it onto their device or stream it or do something with it. That's kind of what it seems like they would want to do with this, but I don't know if that's what they're doing. I have no idea.
It's so unspecific. And I guess, one of the one nice thing about this is that they, have confirmed that, anyone can play the game on the system that it was, initially downloaded onto.
Which is nice, yes.
Yeah, if you have your, one home family Xbox One system.
This will not be a problem.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a big deal. But, if you're anyone who, has any, anything outside that very specific, we have one Xbox One, we never take that Xbox One anywhere, I don't have any friends whose houses I go to that have Xbox Ones and want to, take my games over there. As long as you don't deal with any of those situations, which are, like half of like the situations that I personally like dealt with like in my history with video games is like fucked. You're fucked because it's so goddamn complicated now. Mostly because you have to tie every single game purchase to an account because it's all digital, which is basically because of DRM. Like Microsoft is like trying to paint it like this is like what Microsoft is trying to do a lot in these press releases and also in their conferences, like. Take these shitty decisions that are made for publishers to not have to deal with the used game market and for Microsoft to be able to get more money, like these decisions made for the benefit of the corporations instead of the consumers, and then try to spin them in some way to be like, yes, but now you can access your digital account anywhere. But it's like, I could access my digital games from anywhere anyways. If they were digital games, I could already do that. But now I don't have the alternative of the disc-based games that I'd like... you know, was tied to a physical disc, but that has specific advantages to it. So, like, they're stripping away certain freedoms from you, but then being like, but this one side of it is really nice, but you don't get the other side anymore. And it's kind of like with their online authorization thing, where you have to check in on a Microsoft server once every 24 hours, which also, like, basically means when you boot up the system, presumably, it needs to check in on the Microsoft server. So it's like, if your internet is out, you can't boot up and, like, start a game. It's, like, only if your internet goes out while you're playing the game are you then still able to keep on going. Like, they tried to paint that in several press releases as being, like, this is, like, the future, it's always online, and we've got, like, the cloud and all the stuff that takes advantage of the internet, but they never address the fact that if the individual action does not necessitate the use of the internet, you shouldn't have to use the internet for it at all. Like, if it's just a fucking single-player game... you shouldn't have to connect to the internet. Like, you should not have to do this authorization thing. If it's a game that makes use of the cloud, and that's part of how the game works, or if you're playing a multiplayer game, yes, obviously that needs to be connected to the internet to do that, but if it doesn't need to be connected, it doesn't need to be connected. And they always try to spin this as being like, it's the wave of the future, like, it's your iPhone, like, blah, blah, this is how things work now. Shut up and take it. And that's, like, the most, like, kind of insulting part of all the stuff that Microsoft's doing is trying to spin it like that.
And I think you just gave your opinion on these two issues.
Yes, I think it's bullshit.
Yeah, and I think
it's all a hell of a lot of bullshit.
Yeah, and I think we've got to... let's talk about these two issues right now, and Kinect privacy is a little separate.
Yeah.
And I think I agree with you. I heard this news, this press release of you know, what the always-on restrictions are and what the used game sales are. And, you know, to be perfectly fair, it's not nearly as bad as
it
could
not,
have been.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was going to be, like, hyper-draconian stuff.
Yeah.
But
it's
unnecessary.
It's unnecessary, and it just, especially, which we will get to later in the conference, knowing that there's going to be a clear, superior alternative to this,
yeah.
I just don't understand the strategy. And it's too vague, it's too much of a hassle, and when I think it... all you need to say about this is when it takes you two fucking pages to explain your used games, not even your used games policy, just your game ownership, you know, property policy, which should be as simple as you buy it, you own it. When it takes two pages to explain that, the thing sounds like more hassle than it's worth.
Yeah. Like, and for every single game purchase to now have to be this, I have to jump through all these hoops because of DRM, is not a... appealing future. And then, this is something I forgot to address with the used games thing, because this is not something they, like, specifically say here, because it's actually the shittiest part of it. Because for me with used games, I don't really, because I fucking hate GameStop so much. I will never set a foot in a GameStop again in my life. I fucking hate those stores. They are so horrible. So I don't fucking care. Like, I don't, like, with that side of the used game market, it is pretty disgusting. To be fair, those stores kind of got forced into it because they don't have good profit margins. It's a really complex issue. It's not just like Microsoft sucks or GameStop sucks. They both kind of just fuck each other over all the time. But, like, that used game market, I don't give a fuck about because I just don't participate in it. It's like the eBay and Craigslist and selling your used games to, like, a mom-and-pop store that then, like, sells it through Amazon and ships it to you. That kind of stuff is the shit I care about because that's also the kind of stuff that, you know, 10 years from now, like, Too Human, for example, is a game that because of lawsuits, Too Human can no longer be made. I own a copy of Too Human, but if I didn't, and, like, for, like, a historical curiosity or something, I wanted to own a copy of Too Human, like, 5 years from now, the only way to be able to do that would be able to, is by buying a used game, and GameStops and those kinds of stores do not carry really old used games anymore. So the only way to own a copy of a game like that is reselling it through someone like on Craigslist or eBay or Amazon. Similarly, recently I went through a thing with Persona 2 Eternal Punishment where it thought it seemed like that game was not going to get re-released in any format I could consume it, so I was thinking about buying of like the PlayStation 1 version of the game, and that would have been really expensive, but the only way to do that would have been used. If these kinds of policies were implemented, it would be literally impossible to buy those games. Just like, gone. Done. You can't do it. Similarly, 10 years from now, when the Xbox One is like whatever the time frame is, in the future, when the Xbox One is no longer Microsoft's leading platform and eventually gets discontinued like the original Xbox's Xbox Live did, because of the online authorization, the Xbox One becomes a brick. Completely dead. You will not run, will not work, you could not play games on it, you could watch Blu-rays and DVD movies, but you could not play games on it at all. So they are killing this system. They are setting it in its life cycle, and that's it. Like, it is, like, within this life cycle, it's a hell of a lot of bullshit, but it still works fine, whatever. Past that, you're fucked. You're completely fucked. It is such a short-lived, short-sighted way of creating a piece of technology that it baffles me, because gaming already has this huge issue of it is so hard for us to like record our like the gaming history, because it's not like movies where it's like a movie's a fucking movie. With video games, you need very specific hardware in order to play it, and the only way to play older games tends to be through illegal emulation that you get through PCs, and that's something that's completely fan driven and technically illegal by like downloading those ROMs and shit like that. Like, this just makes it even more complex when it should be getting less complex. We should be coming up with solutions that allow us to have better backwards compatibility that does not tie games so specifically to specific pieces of hardware that you, like 20 years from now, you will not be able to play Halo 5 unless it gets re-released somewhere.
Right, and we see Sony actually pushing for this with their streaming service.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if that's going to be a perfect solution, but they're trying, and I like the effort.
Yeah, exactly. I really do. Like, trying to make backwards compatibility, like, available in some way, I think is super, super important, especially as, you know, like, as we've seen with, like, this current generation of games, with the next-gen reveal stuff, like, we'll get into more, we're reaching a point where the technological advance is not as drastic as it used to be. Where it's like, if you, like, improve the graphical quality of an N64 game by 10 times, like, in terms of, like the number of polygons and stuff like that, the game, like, it's such a drastic, it's like, that's basically the leap from the N64 to, like, the fucking PS2. Whereas now, if you increase the graphical fidelity of a game like Halo 4 10 times, you barely even notice the difference, because it's just like it's you're getting that much closer to reality. So it's like these games that are getting released now are not going to age in such a way that I think backwards compatibility is going to be a much more viable sort of thing that we're going to be looking at.
Yeah, and I think your point about the Xbox One already being destined to become a brick maybe the most important thing to consider in all the Xbox One news that has come out yet, or we will talk about with E3, because it just, especially when they're asking you an outrageous price for it, compared to, we'll talk about that, you know, you're paying $500 for something that will last you maybe 10 years, and then it's dead.
Yeah, like you're buying something with a lifespan, like you're buying a ticking bomb, and when that timer goes out, it's dead.
Whereas, you know, I can still go back and dust off my fucking PS2 and my NES, and our old
I still fucking play Sonic 3 and Knuckles on my goddamn Genesis sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's... It doesn't run great anymore, but I can still fucking do it, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
I don't need to check into some sort of Sega server, and it's like, and I'm fucked because my Sonic and Knuckles game I bought from a friend, you know, like...
Yeah.
Like, shit doesn't need to be this complicated all the time. And Xbox.
All right, well.
Yeah, Microsoft is trying to make it a lot more complicated than it needs to be.
And we'll talk about a lot more of this. But let's see. Kinect privacy.
Yes.
That's the last thing they did in this we're still pre-E3. The last part of the pre-E3. So, a lot of fears with the Kinect we joked about earlier with, like, you know, sex and shit. But,
yes,
but
yes,
what. This was the vaguest part of the whole thing to me.
I don't even know how much to talk about this because I don't buy any of it.
No.
But it basically is just saying, it's like, the Kinect will... I'll just basically read it. You are in control of what Kinect can see and hear. It's like, you are in control of when Kinect sensing is on, off, or paused. If you don't want the Kinect sensor on while playing games or enjoying your entertainment, you can pause Kinect. You are in control of your personal data. You can play games or enjoy applications that use data, such as videos, photos, facial expressions, heart rate, and more. If you really like want your Kinect to fucking know your heart rate, it's still so fucking creepy. But this data will not leave your Xbox One without your explicit permission. That's the part that's fucking bullshit. That is so, so bullshit. This kind of data is so often, like, you know, like, everything does it. You know, like, I think Facebook is probably the most despicable example of just, like, of collating this personal information of your browsing habits and stuff like that, and then feeding that to marketing organizations that then use that to market to you. Like, it is a weird, like, behind, like under-the-table, backhanded profit thing that all these companies have.
And knowing...
like, by selling this personal information that's, like, that's it's in, like, all these terms of services, just because it says it here doesn't make it true. Don't fucking assume that, ever. I don't buy this at all.
No, I don't buy it for a second.
God.
And I think knowing that the Xbox dashboard has for several years now had prominent advertisements, they will clearly be integrating that with Kinect.
Yeah.
I have no doubt in the world of that.
Yeah.
There's just no doubt in my mind. And I think, I can't believe in a week where we learned about all the NSA privacy intrusions.
Yeah, the privacy stuff.
Just what terrible stuff the government has been doing with privacy that we did not know about.
And Microsoft. Microsoft was one of the companies. And it was hilarious because that came out literally the same day that this press release did.
Yeah.
So I finished reading this press release, looked on the internet, saw this Prism stuff, and I was like, well, no! I'm not going to, like, fucking, you're selling this information to the government. Like, it's... I don't trust you, Microsoft. I've never trusted you, but I'm certainly not, like... And it's specifically even, like, they take Skype calls and shit like that, which is one of the most prominent features of the Xbox One. So I don't want to put this camera that is always plugged into the Xbox One, that is presumably then plugged into the wall, which means that camera and microphone is getting in power from your wall. Like, you don't have control over that. Until people, like, get this device in their homes and, like, are able to scientifically, like take it apart and prove, okay, this is, like, not sending out information. We know that for sure. I don't trust it at all.
No, I don't.
Nobody should.
Yeah, and I just cannot believe that they would look at all the shit that's going on with the NSA, with them, including them,
yeah,
and not be more sensitive about this. Those are serious.
Well, I mean, presumably they would not. I mean, they didn't think that this stuff would get leaked. And then also, like this side of Microsoft probably had no fucking clue that Microsoft in general was doing, like, selling this information.
But the NSA Verizon stuff had already come out. This was part of the public atmosphere. That's all I'm saying, is that this was big news on everybody's minds, is privacy intrusions through the things we think we own and the things we think are private, and they're not private. I don't want... This is the biggest barrier of entry to me for the Xbox One, is I don't want that fucking thing in my home.
I don't want to connect. Like,
I don't want it. Yeah. I don't want it even more now that I know the government would fucking love to have that in their homes. They would love to have a camera in every American home.
It's fucking 1984,
goddammit. And I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but the evidence is stacking the fuck up. And the Kinect is dumb, and we don't know, more than anything else.
If there's no benefit that overrides, you do, like, we're talking about this stuff, I do feel like it's like I'm coming across as paranoid, and I don't think, it's not like Microsoft is going to sell this information, like secret police are going to come to your house and they'll take you away because you said bomb and you're on your couch. Like, that's not going to happen, realistically, but it's like, it's sort of a principle thing, and then also... Like, the private information stuff, it's like, I just don't want that information being sold to marketers in any way, shape, or form. And you know, like, this information is always being collected by groups like Microsoft, like the information on your Skype calls and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't want to be doing it any more than it's already happened.
Yeah, exactly. So, Kinect, fuck you. I don't believe your press release, especially because it's not even like... Like, if it was something in the terms of service, I would believe it a lot more, but even then, terms of services are not legally binding. That's a huge mistake people make. It's not. No, terms of services are not legally binding, so, yeah, So that was sort of the atmosphere going into this, and going into E3 was Microsoft's reveal event for the Xbox One sucked in a lot of ways. They didn't show a lot of games. Their focus on TV was completely baffling. And then after, it was a complete shit show because they didn't have their message straight. And then when they did get their message straight, their message kind of stung because I don't want to have this always on thing. I don't want to not be, have this, like, more, like, full ownership of my property, and I also don't want a camera and microphone in my living room staring at me while I get blowjobs. You know, like, that's just not what I want in my life. So, going into the E3, not really like happy about the Microsoft situation, and then Microsoft goes up first. But before we continue on this, like, my angry tirade about stuff that Microsoft is doing, like, quick detour.
Okay.
Before E3, something happy, something I really enjoyed. Activision showed off Call of Duty Ghosts in its own separate pre-E3 event.
I did not hear about this.
Yes, and it was like quick little, like, 30-minute thing. I think it was on whatever Jeff Keighley, like, that he has, like, game trailers, I think. Whatever Jeff Keighley, he's a cool dude. He does good video game reporting. He was there covering it. And it was like a long sort of like single player campaign demo for Call of Duty Ghosts that actually looked pretty interesting. It got me sort of interested in Call of Duty Ghosts. The best thing was they focused on the dog like for half of it. It was so great. The dog's name is Riley. He like
That's a great name for a dog.
Yeah, it's a great dog name. And he has a camera on his back, and at certain points in the campaign, you can like look through the camera point of view and control the dog. It's so great!
I am buying a PS4
it's
to play
so
this fucking
great.
Game!
And, like, the kiss-off part of the campaign demo is, like, they're doing, like, the classic Call of Duty or just, like, military shooter thing of, like, let's stack up on this wall, we're going to breach this thing, and then it's, like, they get up there, and then, like, one of the guys is like, Riley, go! And, like, Riley the dog jumps through this window, and then, like, you hear this growling, and then the dog... Like, you see, because you're, like, up against, like, the side of the wall looking at the door, then the door just breaks out, and Riley, like, is tackling a dude through the door, and then another dude sort of runs out, and then you pop them in slow motion. It was so fucking awesome.
So what you're saying is Call of Duty Ghosts is the must-play game of 2013.
Like, yeah, coming into E3, I was like, I've been down on Call of Duty a lot lately, but, like, the stuff they're doing with the campaign, like, the setting has this sort of post-apocalyptic, like... Like, they were in, it looked like, I think somewhere, like, maybe, like, northern Mexico, where it was, like, it looked like a huge fucking bomb had gone off, because there was just this huge sinkhole in the middle of the city, and there were, like, buildings, like, toppling into the sinkhole. It looked really cool, really dramatic. They had some underwater stuff that looked really awesome. So Call of Duty Ghosts is actually looking pretty cool. Like, it looks like they're doing some interesting stuff with that game. And goddammit, Fable 2... It was one of my favorite games of this generation. Fable 2 pioneered the awesome dog companion in video games, and Call of Duty Ghosts is taking that and bringing it into the next generation, and I think that's fucking awesome. So
round of applause.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was so shocked coming out of that, of just like, they fucking get it. Like, they fucking get it. They're like, it looks like they're focusing on sort of story stuff more, the writing seems kind of interesting, and then... fucking Riley the dog, and you get to control him, and it was awesome.
That is the most excited I think I've ever heard you about anything.
It's so fucking, it was so much fun. It's so dumb, but so great. And then I guess another like little pre-E3 thing that will then lead into what happened in actual E3 is that Konami also had a pre-E3 event that I didn't like look at a lot of stuff from because I don't play a lot of Konami games. But one crucial piece of news came out that Metal Gear Solid 5.
Oh, this is so weird.
Jack Bauer, Kiefer Sutherland himself, is now voicing Solid Snake / Big Boss / whatever the fuck that... Metal Gear Solid's weird. But whoever the main character is in Metal Gear Solid 5, either Solid Snake or Big Boss, Kiefer Sutherland is voicing him, and... Yeah.
That's what happens when your TV show gets canceled.
Yeah, exactly. Except for kind of bringing it back a little bit.
Oh, I mean his TV show he did on Fox after 24.
Okay.
That no one saw.
I so heavily associate Keith and Sutherland with 24 that I just assume after 24 got canceled, he just went into a cryogenic chamber until they decided to bring it back. And then when he heard they released him because they were bringing it back for a little bit, he was like, oh, hey, I could do this Metal Gear Solid thing too.
So Solid Snake will be torturing people a lot more.
Funny thing about that, because, okay, so the Microsoft event opened with a Metal Gear Solid 5 trailer. That was pretty cool. But then after E3, like earlier this morning, I saw there was an extended trailer that sort of was basically... The one they showed at the Microsoft event was sort of like this 5-minute chunk of what, like in-game stuff that looked really interesting. It had sort of like this open world. Kind of looked like Metal Gear Solid meets Red Dead Redemption. I've never played a Metal Gear Solid game before, but this one looked kind of interesting enough, and it, since it's a prequel that takes place after Metal Gear Solid 3... Because I've read the Metal Gear Solid Wikipedia pages so much, so I kind of know the story, because they're so crazy. This is like, I think, so this takes place in between Metal Gear Solid 3 and the original Metal Gear Solid. And so, like, it's sort of a prequel, so I don't think you need to, like, have really played all the games to get it. So, Metal Gear Solid 5 maybe should be on your radar, if like even if you're not into Metal Gear Solid, because it looks like it's doing cool stuff in terms of story and game.
And we know that's a series that will definitely take advantage of the hardware.
Yeah, yeah, it looked fucking phenomenal. But so that was like a 5-minute sort of gameplay thing, and then the extended trailer had sort of a 3-minute cinematic sequence pasted, like basically a trailer pasted onto a gameplay demo. It was kind of weird. But the trailer was basically like a 3-minute compilation of all these characters getting tortured. I shit you not, like, it wasn't Big Boss / Solid Snake doing it, but it was like, and there was, like, just this, gruesome, completely brutal scene of, like, there's this girl who has sort of, like, her stomach cut open, and they're, like, trying to yank this, like, thing of, like, C4 out of her stomach. It's fucking...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, fucking Jesus.
That'll be a great minigame.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's, like, it opened with, like, some woman getting, like the dude had like car batteries and like hooked it up to her arms as she was getting electrocuted. He was like fucking Jesus. Like, I just wanted to watch an extended trailer for Metal Gear Solid 5. I didn't realize I was loading up
torture
Sutherland's
porn.
Yeah, like private stash of torture porn
that he watches into the cryo tubes.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's Jack Bauer, you know. So
yes,
yeah. So that was pretty great. But anyway,
all right. So let's talk the Xbox One.
Yes,
E3.
The Xbox One E3 press conference. This is where I don't even know how like in depth I want to go on this stuff, because these were like most of these press conferences were like 90 minutes long.
Let's hit the news items that you feel are pertinent, and we don't have to talk about all of them, but the ones we feel we should talk about, we'll talk about.
Okay, so yeah, Microsoft comes on stage. They're the first ones to go up. The big M coming in really sour off of all their news, coming in starting with Metal Gear Solid 5, which is weird because that's an Xbox One and PS4 game. So I don't know. There was a lot of, like, there were a lot of multi-platform titles in both the Microsoft and Sony events that is, like...
Exclusivity is less important.
Yeah, exclusivity is becoming a lot less important, which is kind of, I really like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, yeah, like, pieces of news, like, the Xbox One is launching in November of this year, so we, like, at least have that window narrowed down. New Xbox 360 form factor being released, same price. It kind of looks like the Xbox One now. It was kind of weird. Like, I was expecting there to be a price drop, too, but they were like, no, we're just... And then they tried to do a thing that's like, and you can get it in stores now. And it's like, why would I... It's the Xbox 360. Like, everybody in America owns a fucking Xbox 360 at this point, Microsoft. So, yeah, there's a new Xbox 360. This is kind of interesting. The Xbox Live Gold service is sort of like, they're sort of like taking a page from PlayStation Plus, offering 2 free games per month starting July with Assassin's Creed 2 and Halo 3. Which Halo 3 is like, everybody owns.
That's what I was going to say, is that that's such a weird one, because it's like, that is the lowest risk one for them to give out.
Yeah, Halo 3, like, Assassin's Creed 2, like, that game sold really, really well, but it's like, it's not like everyone who owns a 360 owns Assassin's Creed 2, but like, fucking...
Correct me if I'm wrong, it is the
highest... Halo 3 has been out for 6 years now.
And correct me if I'm wrong, it's the highest selling 360 exclusive.
Halo 3? Oh, yeah, I'm pretty damn sure.
Yeah.
It's either that or Gears of War 3.
So
yeah, like, but, you know, that's like, you know, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, whatever.
No,
the weirdest
thing
weirdest thing about this was, I don't know, like, it felt weird that they didn't ever specifically say that, like, this stuff is going, like, continuing into the Xbox One when it launches and stuff like that. So, I kind of have this impression that it either stops when the Xbox One launches, or, like, it's only for 360, like, I don't know, like, they didn't, it wasn't as, like, sort of, like, yes, this is happening forever, like, you didn't get that sense by the way they talked about it, and you'd think that if that's what it was, they would play that up a lot, because this is a cool thing, like...
And I will say, I mean, we've complained a lot about how Xbox Live makes you pay up the ass just to put your console online.
Yeah,
this actually
for, like,
you...
doing anything, like, even Netflix, they put behind that paywall.
And that's dumb, but... Yeah. Having that paywall now include, you know, tangible goods is nice.
Well, digital goods.
Digital, okay. You know what I mean, though.
Yes.
It's something
yes.
you can actually play and interact with.
Yes.
And that's
one. Now I can own a digital version of Halo 3 and Assassin's Creed 2 along with my physical ones, so I can download Halo 3 and Assassin's Creed 2 anywhere I want, but then I also have this physical disc that I don't have to deal with the DRM bullshit.
Yes, I will.
Like, I'm getting the best of both worlds.
I'll definitely download Halo 3 this way, because that's... That'll just be nice to have on
Oh, fuck. I didn't even think about that. That will actually be really nice, because my original Halo 3 disc, like, some, like, the first Sierra 117, that level sometimes doesn't load because the disc is kind of scratched.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's, I don't even think about that. Fuck, like, I'm going to replay the Halo 3 campaign because I don't have to deal with the long campaign load times on my scratched up disc.
It's a great campaign.
Exactly. So, fuck it, yeah, great. Microsoft totally sold, great. I mean, my
You're buying Xbox One now.
Because I don't know if this stuff continues with the Xbox One, because I'm not going to be able to play Halo 3 on my Xbox One, so why would I give a fuck? But my Xbox Live Gold doesn't expire until my birthday, so like really late November, so it's like, I'm so happy how that worked out that it's like, I got Xbox Live on my birthday, so it's like, it's this perfect, like, it ends right when new consoles come out, so I can stop paying for Xbox Live Gold, like, right when new consoles come out, and don't have to worry about it, so.
Yep.
Convenient for me. Yay me. So moving on, that was sort of the end of like the really briefly addressing the 360 at the beginning of the press conference. And then now, this is where, I will give Microsoft credit. At the very least, they did for their press conference focus on games and games and games and games and games and games and games, because that's the big complaint they had out of their initial reveal. I think there's some problems with this format, but let's just like go through this list of next-gen games coming to the Xbox One. A lot of these are exclusives. First is Rise, Son of Rome, which sort of is like this third-person action, like, sort of, I don't want to say it's like God of War, but it's kind of like God of War. Like, it's sort of just like an action spectacle, like, character fighter game, but you're Roman. And it looked, like, the graphics looked really good, but the gameplay, I sort of couldn't get a good sense of whether or not it would be fun to play because it looked really, really scripted and linear. And I don't know if that's because that's how the game is or if it's a demo. So it's like they just, like, to make it look like cool, they had it be like that. And then also the combat seemed really weird in that it was like he would hit a dude, block, hit a dude again, and then a button prompt would come up, and then he would hit the button prompt, and then it would initiate a quick, like, 2-button press quick time event. And that was for every single enemy, and that looks like that would get really fucking annoying, and you just see the same animations over and over and over again. So I've, like, not immediately sold on Rise, Son of Rome. Interesting thing about this is being made by Crytek. And this was initially revealed like 2 years ago as a 360 Kinect-only game. No Kinect at all in this. Like, they didn't show... It's just like for this whole press conference.
And we'll talk about that
later.
Yeah,
Kinect was basically absent, but specifically this title, no longer Kinect thing. But it did seem like there were sometimes a button prompts would come up like for the left bumper, and it would be like, press left bumper, and then it would like, next to it would say like, raise your shields in, like, a font that really made it look like this is also, if you wanted to, you could be like, Xbox, raise your shields if you wanted to shout at your Xbox when you play video games to, instead of just pressing the left bumper to initiate that, which would be the way the same people do it. But, so Rise, Son of Rome, that was the first title. There's a quick trailer from Insomniac that has been released from their, like, exclusive Sony stuff. They released Fuse, like, a couple of months ago, which was their first multi-platform game. They're the guys who made Ratchet & Clank and Resistance. It was a quick cinematic trailer for Sunset Overdrive that had a really cool art style, but I, like, don't know anything about the game. So that got said. Rare, like the long-touted Rare, like the makers of Banjo and Kazooie and Killer Instinct, which then got bought up by Microsoft at like the dawn of this generation, and they have done fuck all since other than make Viva Pinata and Banjo and Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. It was teased that they were going to have, like, a historic IP was going to come back, and that historic IP is Killer Instinct, their shitty, like, B-level Mortal Kombat rip-off fighting game from the Super Nintendo and N64 games that apparently people gave a shit about. I don't give a shit about. Killer Instinct looked like shit to me.
I've never heard of it.
It's don't worry about it.
Okay.
There's a werewolf.
That's not a problem on my part I haven't heard about.
And then one of the weird things coming out of this, like, that came out after the conference was apparently this is Killer Instinct's going to be a free-to-play game, and only one of the characters is going to be, like you can download it for free, launch day on Xbox One, but you can only play as one of the characters, and then you have to buy the other characters separately, apparently. There aren't prices on what that is. That seems like a really weird format, because, like, I don't know, like, maybe, like, assuming it's Werewolf Guy, who's you, like, this is the free character you get, presumably Killer Instinct, if you go online, there will be a lot of playing against Werewolf Guy, which does not sound fun. But
okay, so, quick mental exercise.
Yes.
They do this with Street Fighter. Which Street Fighter characters do you buy first?
I mean, presumably Ryu is the one you just get, it's Ryu.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, Ryu is just the one, this is a Street Fighter character I always play as. Ken, I like some Ken. But I would hope that if Street Fighter pulled this bullshit, you'd get Ryu and Ken. Just like you, like you should get at least two, right?
Yes.
So if like say you and I wanted to play a match of Street Fighter, we didn't both have to play as Ryu. It's like one of us could play as Ryu and one of us could play as Ken, or for Killer Instinct, we don't have to play as Werewolf Dude, one of us could play as Werewolf Dude, and one of us could play as like hot fighting game chick person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, weird. But yeah, I'd be Ryu and Ken. And then Akuma, I always like him. Mm-hmm. I just like all the characters that have Hadoukens, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, moving on. Killer Instinct, that got said. Minecraft will be on Xbox One. Will still be worse than the PC version of Minecraft.
That is. I want to say really quick about that one. It does make sense from a business standpoint.
That's a smart thing for them to do. I just still think it's funny. I don't know. I mean, I know you play Minecraft. I don't know. Is Minecraft available on the Mac? Do you know?
No.
Okay, so that's why. But if you, like, for anybody who plays Minecraft on the Xbox 360 that has a PC made in the last 6 years, for fuck's sake, just get Minecraft on the PC.
And also,
you get so many benefits from it.
Oh, you do, and it's interesting that way. The Xbox version is just fun because as someone who doesn't deal with a PC kind of gaming, it's nice just to be able to sit down with my controller, very intuitive, do Minecraft. But, you know, it's nice that the Xbox One version will have a lot more content, but why they can't put near everything in...
Yeah.
Because I know you don't have a keyboard and mouse, but Minecraft is not that control heavy.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things is that just because of the way Xbox One works, like, you can't run your Xbox One as a dedicated server that other people can play off of like you could on PC Minecraft, and you can't do mods, which that's, like, the big thing. Like, there's no... Unless they implement this in some way, and they didn't say anything specifically to this fashion, like, you're not able to share stuff with Minecraft on Xbox, which is one of the reasons why I don't get Minecraft on Xbox, because I don't play a lot of those sort of creative-type games anyways, but it's like, it seems like that sharing ability and, like, being able to be like, hey, dude, check out, like, this dude, like, recreated the city of Gondor in Minecraft. I would want to walk around in that. Like, I wouldn't want to just see screenshots of it if I was playing Minecraft and be like, oh, that's fucking awesome. I want to take a look at this.
Well, and I can tell you right now, if Thomas and I, my brother, if we did not play Minecraft together, I would not play Minecraft because I like, we can show each other what we've built.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Yeah. So what's next?
And I should say, not to move past that section right away, because that was also a section where Microsoft said a lot about how they've always been supporting indie developers, and indie developers will be welcome on the Xbox One, except you literally can't, because indie developer literally means you self-publish your games. It is impossible to self-publish a game on the Xbox 360, and that policy is not changing for the Xbox One, so no, Microsoft.
It's like
you are not supporting indie developers in the literal, just, like, meaning of what indie developer is. And then also, I can't even count how many indie developers have put out, a game on Xbox Live Arcade, and then the creative lead has immediately gone on Twitter and be like, after the game comes out, fuck Microsoft. Fuck everything about Microsoft. Fuck their policies about patching. Fuck everything about getting games on their system. I have to put out a fucking mortgage on my house just to fucking patch my goddamn game. Like, Jonathan Blow did that. The creator of Fez did that. The dude who made Dust and Elysian Tail did that. Like, indies fucking hate Microsoft. Microsoft just made a heavy push early on in this generation with their Xbox Live Arcade service to do it, and then now everybody fucking hates them. Yeah. So I thought it was
really
funny.
It sounds like they're actively misdefining indie the same way that people who think, like, I've seen a Woody Allen movie, I support indie cinema.
Yeah. One of the things I love for, like, a video game example is that, like, a lot of people say Double Fine, like, the makers of, like, Brutal Legend, and, like they don't make big games anymore like that. But everyone calls them an indie developer. It's like, are you crazy? Like, Double Fine's been making games for like 20 years.
Yeah.
It's like, they get published by EA and people like that.
Yeah, stringing the words like indie and studio together means that it's not an indie.
Yeah, and while, you know, Mojang is technically an indie studio, Minecraft hardly counts at this point, right? It's one of the most successful games of this entire generation.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, yes, you should have it on your fucking console, but don't tout it as, like, we've got Minecraft, so we are pro-indie. So I thought that section then gets a lot funnier when you get to the Sony conference.
Yes.
So then moving on, Forza Motorsport 5, the requisite car game, car games being featured in every single press conference so far, other than Nintendo. Wait, no, there's Nintendo Mario Kart. So car games featured in every single press conference so far. It's a next generation always works that way because cars look cool on new hardware. Forza Motorsport 5, the interesting thing about that, that I think is actually kind of dumb, is that they're taking advantage of the cloud bullshit, the cloud that Xbox One has, and they're doing it for AI to try to, like, it kind of almost sounded like driving AI version of Siri, where it tries to learn based on, like, the way you drive and uploading that to the cloud.
That's not gonna work.
The way other people drive and uploading that to the cloud. And the best part about it all is that they call that system Drivatars. Like, the word drive and avatar fused together. Like, they, like, the dude from Forza came out on stage with, like, this really great-looking car that they just, like, lifted up onto the stage. And then it's, like, that word Drivatar, D-R-I-V-A, like, fucking Jesus.
That is
Drivatar.
That is how you get me excited for James Cameron's Avatar 2, if the Na'vi get cars and it becomes a car racing
game. Yeah, I really wish that was, like, the subtitle of this game, Forza Motorsport 5, Drivatars. But yeah, like, this, like, it's seemed really dumb for a lot of reasons. The biggest one is, if you have to be connected to the cloud in order to get access to the Drivatars that are meant to replicate human behavior in AI, why would I not just then use my internet connection to play against other human people online where you do not need to replicate AI behavior whatsoever, right?
Yeah.
Like, if I want to have, because I don't want to play against other drivers that behave like humans in driving games. I play Burnout Paradise Racing online, that sucks. Every single race is like everybody slams into the first corner, and the person who comes out of that first corner on top wins the race. Because humans are good at driving the way that AI are not. AI are specifically programmed to make driving against them fun. I don't want Drivatars. I want the funny, shitty driving AI that sometimes rubber bands so that it's like it gives some tension. Like, actual races are so fucking boring online, so...
You want to hear something
funny?
Don't
give a shit about it. Yeah.
This is a little off topic, but you said every press conference this week so far has had a driving game.
Yes.
That includes the Apple Worldwide Developers Conference.
Really?
Yes.
I knew that was going on, but I didn't pay attention to it.
I watched that conference. I had some stuff going. I was doing some work, and I had it on in the background. They announced some cool stuff, but the dumb thing they announced was that they are having some... They actually did an indie developer push, too. And then they brought these guys out.
Did they bring up Mojang?
No, they brought out some fucking idiots from Caltech or something. And they were, like, explaining how they've been doing stuff with robotics and AI. And they're like, so there will be new... And they're talking about there will be new kinds of games making use of advanced artificial intelligence for the iPhone. And they bring out... It's something about, like... It's like something Drive. And they put out this big mat on the floor. And the mat has a racetrack. And then they put these little cars. And, like, you buy these cars, and they're controlled by, you know, robots. They've got AI in them.
Yeah.
And then you activate it from your phone. All you do is activate it. And then your cars...
So it's basically your phone is a glorified switch.
It is. It's a transmitter for those. It becomes...
Okay.
And then the cars start racing, and they are apparently dynamically, like, going around the track. And they are... We haven't programmed them. They're just sensing that this is where they're supposed to go. And they're like, look how cool it is. If I introduce another car onto it, and he's going to put it down, and the guy who's controlling the phone is like, no, don't do that. He's like, what? He's like, don't just... And then he has to stop all the cars. They have to get them all off. They have to restart. It took, like, 5 minutes. And I can't... Like Tim Cook must have been, like... You never hear Tim Cook swear? He must have been, like, swearing and, like, flipping them off and just so mad from that. And then they finally got working again. And all it did was it went faster than the other cars.
That's also great because another thing featured at every single E3 press conference was baffling technical difficulties.
Yes.
So it seems this was a cursed... Monday was a cursed day to have press conferences, apparently.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's fucking...
Isn't that great?
That's great. It just sounds like it's a glorified... It's like a really fast Roomba that you, like, activate through your phone.
Uh-huh.
Basically.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. That's cool. Not really, but... So anyways, like, just rolling down the other list of games. This is a game they, like, talked about for, like, a second, like, showed a, like, 30-second teaser. It's D4. It's a new episodic series from Swery65. You probably don't know who Swery65 is. But he's a... they made this game, Deadly Premonition, that came out like 3 years ago. I did not play. I watched a Let's Play of because the game looks like it plays like shit, but it is really fun to watch because it's basically like the most... It's like a Japanese dude binge marathoned Twin Peaks, passed out, and then like when he woke up, he found like these notes scrawled around him that like were in his handwriting. He's like, it's a script to a video game. I've got to make this. And that's what Deadly Premonition is. Go on to drivebomb.com, go to the Vinny and Jeff Endurance Run, watch it, fucking hilarious. It's a great game to Let's Play. But, so he's, I think this is going to be an Xbox exclusive. Apparently he's making a game called D4 that is an episodic thing. So, we'll probably, hopefully will be awesome, because that dude is crazy based on Deadly Premonition. But, yeah, that was kind of cool to see just, like, that be mentioned at all. So have, like, someone say Sweary 65 on stage was weird. Then Quantum Break, they talked about that for a second. Matt Lake from Quantic, or from Remedy came out and still don't really know what this game is. Like, at least they showed game footage instead of TV footage. But they said there's going to be TV stuff involved, because this was the game that had, like, the live-action portion in front of the trailer at the reveal event. But they didn't show any gameplay footage, but it looks kind of cool, but I don't know anything about it. There's Project Spark, which is basically Microsoft's version of Little Big Planet. It actually looks kind of interesting. It's, like, you know, basically a Minecraft-like creative-type game, but it's not like mine. It's more like Little Big Planet. But I don't. There's not a whole lot to say about that, but it looked kind of cool. The guys on stage had, like, really great fake enthusiasm about it. Then, oh god, what are the other games? They talked about Dead Rising 3, which is one of the few, like, I really, really love the original Dead Rising. The Dead Rising 3, like, presentation was kind of weird because it didn't seem, like, Dead Rising has a really, really Japanese sense of sort of, like, humor and absurdism to it that was not present at all in that demo, so I don't know what's going on with that. Then the next thing was Crimson Dragon, which that one was fun because that was like a minute-long trailer that at least, I think on the live stream and I think in the press conference itself, I'm not sure, there was no audio. They, for whatever reason, no audio played for the entire trailer.
Maybe that's the game is silent.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty great. There's Blow By by Capybara, that's like an indie-type game. Don't have a lot to say about that. The new Halo game was teased in a really cool way where they didn't say it was going to be Halo. It's just like they start sort of playing a video and then it's like this dude walking through a desert with a cloak on, and then you see he has a gauntleted hand with Cortana's AI chip in it, and I was like, holy shit, it's fucking Halo. And then he takes his hood off, and his Master Chief is like, holy shit, it's fucking Halo. And it's like, Halo. No number.
Why?
No number ever mentioned. I have no idea. I don't know if it's like...
Can you come up with any explanation for why they would do that?
No. Hopefully it's that they'll call it Halo 1. That is my dream.
And
that they will run that into the ground in Nintendo style.
And that the O in Halo is also the O in 1.
Exactly, yes. Halo.
Yes.
Yes. So, Halo's going to be 60 frames per second, apparently. That's pretty cool.
That's really nice. That's a fun trailer.
Yeah. And it's going to come out 2014, which seems a little soon.
It seems
like
really
a 2-year development time, whereas the main Halo titles traditionally had 3 years development time.
And I'm just,
so
I'm
that's
curious,
a little disconcerting.
I'm curious, because 343 has clearly been working on Halo 4 all this time, too, because
yeah.
They had all the map packs and some Spartan Ops stuff to finish. And
they're making that Halo Spartan Assault Windows phone game. I don't know if you've seen that. It's like a top-down twin-stick.
Who gives up?
It's a top-down twin-stick shooter on two platforms, neither of which have twin sticks, and Culkin, because it's on Windows 8 and Windows 8 phones and, like, tablet devices, but apparently controllers are not supported at launch for the Windows 8 version. It's just like, you're making literally the genre that you are making this game in is based off of the control interface, which is based off of two fucking joysticks that go back to, like, arcade days. It's a fucking twin-stick shooter, for fuck's sake. Twin sticks! I don't want to have that on my phone. That always sucks. So that was dumb. But yeah.
Alright.
And then the last game that got talked about was Battlefield 4. And this is where the most, like, the craziest technical difficulty happened at the Microsoft one was... Like, they were talking about Battlefield 4, like, a dude from EA came on stage and was talking about it, and then they were going to start a campaign demo, and the campaign demo looked really boring and like a Call of Duty campaign in the worst way, but, like, they tried to start the video, and then the video, like, had no audio, and then it failed to play, and they had to sort of, like, start it up again, and that process took, like, 5 minutes, and for a second, the EA guy was just like, we're just not going to do it, and he almost walked off stage, and he was clearly... really fucking pissed about that. Like, it was a really big fuck-up in a really kind of embarrassing way. And so, the fitting cap to the game reveals at the Microsoft, the Battlefield 4 comes on stage, and then, one, the demo itself was really lame. I mean, it looked nice, but the gameplay stuff was really dull. And then, they took them, like, 5 minutes to even get the thing to start playing.
So, overall, what were your thoughts on this part of the conference?
On the games part, you know, there were a lot of games, but the only thing I was interested in was Halo, because I'm already invested in Halo, and I had nothing, like, and I thought it was, like, a cool way to reveal that game. Although, if you're not someone who's into Halo, that would be, like, a big kick in the balls, because you're like, what's this new IP? Like, this looks interesting. What is this? Like, dude walking through the desert, and it's like, oh, it's another fucking Halo game. So if you don't like Halo, that teaser probably pissed you off. If you do like Halo, you thought it was pretty cool. But other than that, like, Dead Rising 3 is something I want to be excited about, but I also read some stuff this morning, like, interviews with them that sounds like... Like, Dead Rising has a very unique and specific gameplay system that it sounds like they're fucking with. Like, there's going to be autosaves and stuff, and Dead Rising is a game that, like, it sort of, like, has, like, a real-time clock thing that goes on where it's, like, if you don't, like, get to those survivors by the time, like, this bar runs out, those survivors are gone. And if you don't get back to, like, the safe room by the time this bar goes out, you cannot start the next campaign mission, so you either have to, like, let yourself do it and start your die, and then start over again with your levels from the beginning, or, like, just keep on playing and, like, get one of the other endings. So it sounds like they're fucking with that system, which would be really disappointing. And other than that, like, it was a lot of... They showed a lot of games, but none of them I thought were interesting. And the only thing that ever got mentioned that seemed like it took any advantage of next-gen, like, hardware in any way that wasn't just, like, kind of prettier graphics was the Drivatars from Forza Motorsport 5, and that just seems really dumb to me.
Yeah, and I'll tell you from my perspective, not watching the conference, but following the news on IGN and other gaming websites, for instance, and on Twitter... None of these games made any noise. Like, I didn't. It was really hard for me to find where these games, like, what were the games they announced? Because no one was putting up news posts on them. Nobody was really talking about them. Maybe they did some bulk posting, but I'd never heard of half the games you just listed off there.
Yeah, I mean, the most impressive, like just looking at the demo, like, ignoring my personal gaming preferences, the best part of the whole presentation was Project Spark. But that just kind of looks like Little Big Planet to me. Like, that was the best demo. Like, it showed the most about the game. It was the most interesting. It actually kind of took advantage of the Kinect, like, the voice control stuff. Like, that...
Then that's something we should talk about now, too.
Yeah,
is that there was nice stuff. None of these games, they may make use of certain Kinect features, but none of them are Kinect games.
Yeah, the only thing that they used Kinect for at all was the Project Spark, where they used voice commands for that. And that is it. Like, that is the only time... Like, I inferred, based on-screen prompts, that there will be Kinect voice stuff in Rise. I'm basically 100% sure of that, but they did not feature it at all.
Yeah. And to me, I mean, okay, A, I don't like the Kinect, I don't want Kinect games, but this surprises and disappoints me to the level that they are putting a Kinect in every box and making you have it in your room. We talked about it before.
It has to be plugged in or the console will not run.
So they are basically confirming they have given up, as I've said for years. I've been saying this since it came out. They were never invested in making Kinect games, quote-unquote. Yeah. And it's true. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
they don't give a flying fuck. It is just there as a fucking gimmick, and it's there for menu navigation.
Yeah, it's so weird because it's like, and I have such conflicted feelings on it because I, like, Kinect games have been shit. Like, I don't know how you would make a really good hardcore Kinect game.
I don't know either.
But there are a lot of, like, I'm also not a game developer. Like,
and you also
I think it could theoretically be possible, but it's like, either don't have a Kinect, and thus you don't have any temptation for Kinect games, or, like, fucking put the Kinect in every single box and fucking show me why I want a Kinect in every single box. Like, the fact that, like, I'm going to have to eat, if I got an Xbox One, I'd have to eat the cost of the Kinect and have it plugged in and find a spot for it in my living room, and if I took my Xbox One somewhere else, I'd have to truck that thing along with me. The fact that I have to do all of that, and it's not going to... enhance, like, they're not trying to show how it would enhance meaningfully my interaction with the thing I bought the Xbox One for, is kind of insulting, because it's like...
It's really insulting, and it's...
Yeah.
It's what I've said all along, is you cannot sell this thing to people if you're not going to do anything with it. And it's what I have said, going back to our discussions of the original Kinect on the 360, is it's practically fraudulent in how they advertised it and how it worked, and how little they use it for anything. And with the Xbox One, to me, it's almost even worse because it's so much more integral, and yet the only thing they're clearly ever going to use it for is the fucking voice features, and you could just put a mic in your goddamn Xbox One. It does not need to be a standalone accessory.
It's so dumb. It's just so... It just feels like such a poor way to try to handle it to me that it's like you're not going to... You know, like, I don't know what they would have to do, like, what game, like, how they would do it, but if you're going to have the Kinect and you're going to make it necessary, you have to show how it's going to work with games, and they didn't even try to make the argument. They just, like, basically ignored the Kinect existed, but it's like, we know the Kinect exists, we know it's an important part of the system, and they're not showing it at all, and that was, like, one of the most, like, the most sort of appalling things about the whole conference. There's also just, like, they talked about smart glass a lot, but there was not... Like the sort of, like, iPhones and tablets and companion devices being implemented into games was a running theme throughout all the press conferences, and Microsoft, even though they already have a dedicated app for it with their Smart Glass thing, did not show anything interesting with it. It was like, basically, what, like, you know, like looking at Halo stats online, they had an app on your phone that basically did that with the Rise game. And then in Dead Rising 3, he, like, had, like, a dude call in an airstrike with the phone. Which, one, that's just, like, really out of place with the, like, how did you... Where did that airstrike come from? That seems like that's going to completely break the game's difficulty, that I could just drop an airstrike on a bunch of zombies whenever I want. Like, if they did not make any compelling...
And why can't you do it with the controller?
Yeah, and, there's, like, they have a partnership with Twitch. There was that.
Yeah.
When they did, that was, like, totally expected. The streaming stuff, like, Sony has Ustream, Microsoft has Twitch, the Stream Wars now officially begin, and we watch those two companies eat each other alive. That'll be fun. That presentation was great, because that's where they brought Killer Instinct back and had, like, a community manager and a developer from Killer Instinct play against each other on stage. It was super awkward, because the community manager was female, and the developer was a dude, and they were both playing the game, and they were trying to have this, like, really, like, awkward, forced banter back and forth, and at one point, the guy, because the developer was winning, he's just like, just lie back and let it happen. Which is like,
oh my god.
Oh man, you did... You do know what that implies, right? You do know that you basically just made a rape joke on stage at the Microsoft press conference when playing against a woman during a time in which sort of like the discussion about sexism in video games is at a fever pitch. You did not just do that, did you? It was like my jaw dropped and like, how did...
I didn't hear about that. Wow.
All of this stuff was obviously had to have been so heavily rehearsed that I couldn't believe that got said. But that was incredible.
Maybe they really, like, they wrote that down and they pitched it and it went through their PR department and their human resources and everything. And
they're like, yeah, it's fine. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Let it happen. She's going to lose the game.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what's wrong with it. But yeah, so that was fun. And then the biggest sort of, like, the
big thing.
Oh,
you want to talk about Microsoft points?
Oh, Microsoft. I forgot about that. I don't know why I forgot about that. That is the most important announcement. Microsoft points gone. Real money on Xbox Live.
Thanks. Fuckity Jesus.
Yes. Fucking 8 years we've been dealing with this tyranny of fake bullshit point systems.
I have 160 points on that account that will never go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Just lost money. I hate it so much.
Yeah. I've got a decent number of points, so I'm going to have to, like, buy a game or something with it at some point before those. Because, and then that's probably not going to, like, that's probably only going to be for the Xbox One. Like, I don't think. I assume that can't roll back to the Xbox 360.
It would be,
like,
so great, though.
The infrastructure probably would not work in such a way. Or because if it was going to be able to do that, I would assume they would have gotten rid of Microsoft points a long time ago. But
I don't know. Microsoft does not seem to have a lot of self-awareness right now, Sean.
That's a good point. Yeah. Which leads us to the last piece of news. Yes, the Xbox One is coming in November. And I was actually I didn't necessarily expect that this was going to happen, but they announced the price, which is $500, $499 U.S., it's also like $4.99 in euros and $4.29 in pounds, which is like...
You're getting fucked if
you're
over there.
Yeah, which is like 100 more relative dollars if you live in the UK or in Europe. But like, that happens. That happens all the time.
I'll admit,
that situation's more complicated than just like the... Yeah, but...
I can actually give some insight into this. I had to set the prices for my book, Fade to Lack, available now from Amazon.com, throughout Europe on their Amazon UK insights, and they asked me to set the price, and I went to set it at like... I was like, well, I'll give it, you know, I want it to be, like, what's the equivalent rate? Well, if I did it at the equivalent rate, I get no royalty. So I have to set it at like, £7.99, like, the same thing. And I felt like kind of a dick, but it's like...
It's a lot more complicated than just the raw number. Like, you should just look at
that's
that,
what
but
I'm
it's
saying.
Funny.
Yeah.
It's still funny, just like...
So I have done this to people, and yeah.
Yeah, so you're basically as bad as Microsoft, is what you're saying.
So I'm not putting my book does not come with a camera. My book, if you buy it, you own it. No DRM.
Yeah. Okay, so that was the Microsoft press conference. Came out of that with, like, they showed a lot of games. None of them were that interesting. I mean, like, almost all of them were exclusives.
So what was your reaction to the price, though? $4.99 in the US.
I thought that looked really expensive. I thought that was, like, that was within my, like, the high range of what I expected it to be, like anything higher than 500, like they're approaching like 550 or 600 would have been ridiculous. But I was hoping everything would be around $400 because, I mean, the last time that came around, that was like a really sweet spot. And then it's just, like, important to mention, they also did not announced that there would be like multiple SKUs or anything like that, and they haven't mentioned anything like that.
That's actually afterwards. The most interesting thing to me, because I can't remember the last time there was a home console launch that didn't have variation.
Yeah, like some kind of like this comes with a bigger hard drive or something. So every single Xbox One will have a 500 gigabyte hard drive
in the
system, and to increase that storage, you have to get an external hard drive and plug that into an Ether or a USB port. So.
That seems, I will say, I understand why they're doing it, it's for cost-saving measures, but 500 gigabytes, given that you have to install every single game you own, and these games could go up to 50 gigabytes because they're on Blu-ray discs, that's a little low.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, it's not, you know, it's not terrible, 500 gigabytes is a lot of memory, but the thing costs $500.
Yeah.
It's $1 a gigabyte.
Yeah.
They should put that on their marketing. I don't even know if that's like a... I don't know, like, dollar gigabyte actually does sound pretty expensive, but, yeah.
That's super expensive right now.
Oh, yeah, fuck, a terabyte, that would be $1,000, yeah.
I bought a terabyte hard drive for $80 a couple weeks ago.
Man, dude, everything should just be $1 a gigabyte, just, like, flat rate.
No!
Yes.
That'd be horrible.
It'd be awesome.
All right,
so... World change.
So, overall, your final reaction to... And let's close the book on Microsoft for the moment, before we go into other conferences.
Boring! Same thing I came out of their reveal event of just like, I saw nothing here that compelled me to buy your console whatsoever. That looks pretty expensive. Halo thing was kind of cool. But other than that, it was like kind of, other than the expensive thing, that is exactly my Microsoft reaction. This is really boring. A Halo thing, that might be kind of cool.
So
TV thing then, but.
So here's the bigger question.
Yes.
So kind of final words on this, where we are to date, considering everything you know about the Xbox One up to now, including what happened before E3, the first press conference, and the press release and everything, and the E3 press conference, what are your thoughts on the Xbox One as of today?
Yeah, absolutely. Then, like, not compelled in any way. Like, it does not seem like it's a weaker piece of hardware, we know, than the PS4. It's an expensive piece of hardware. It comes with, and part of that expense is I have to eat the cost of a Kinect, which I don't want to own, which, like, they make no compelling reason for me to buy it. There are no exclusives specifically to the Xbox One that I, like, was really wanted to buy, and it actually reminds me there's a game I forgot to mention that was actually the actual end of the trailer or the conference that we'll talk about. That was actually kind of cool. But, like, there's nothing made me feel really compelled to buy the Xbox One, either at the reveal event or here. It was not great for me.
I overall feel actively disincentivized.
Yeah.
And I just, more and more I feel actively disincentivized, where not only do I not feel like I feel like I don't want to own. I don't just have apathy. It's like, I really don't want one of those things. And I think the more we learn about what its competitors are doing, which we'll talk about later in the podcast, that just disincentivizes me more and more. And more than anything else, it's the overall attitude, which just seems so cocky and disrespectful to customers.
Yeah, and just so... Like, they just have no idea. They do not have their pulse on... Or their finger on the pulse. Like, they have no self-awareness. They have no idea who they're trying to market to, how to market to those audiences. It just feels like Microsoft has no idea what they're doing.
I mean, when the biggest cheer they get is about getting rid of Microsoft points, I think that says there's some bad stuff going on.
Yeah, and exactly.
I want to stress for listeners who don't maybe get this. Sean and I are Xbox 360 gamers.
Yeah, like and I've been an Xbox gamer since the original Xbox. That was the first console I bought from that generation. It was my primary platform from that generation, and then that went into the 360.
Yeah, and I think it takes, you know, we were not looking at any point of what was happening with the Xbox One announcement or the E3 conference to be down on it. It's just kind of got to call them when you see them. And I feel like, if anything, I have higher standards for Xbox because I enjoyed their previous console so much.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of fond memories on their systems. But at a certain point, you got to take stock of where you are and where they are right now. You know, even if they do a whole conference focusing on games, but if it's this dry and bland and there's nothing really compelling to it, and there's all their policies surrounding it, sounds like it will be an active hassle to play a single one of these games.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
I
don't want one. Especially for $500.
Yeah,
I could.
Yeah, for that price point.
Yeah.
That's really hard to swallow. So that's Microsoft, like, the one thing at the very end. And this will segue nicely into EA, because this is, like, the second thing they showed at the EA press conference, was Respawn Entertainment, their new game, Titanfall, that got leaked, like, a week ago, which is really disappointing, because they're the guys who, like, after Infinity Ward got fucked by Activision after, like, post Modern Warfare 2. Like, half the staff got fired. Almost all of them went on to make this the Respawn Entertainment studio that has not yet released the game. And Titanfall, this is their first game. It's been, like, long awaited. And so they showed it at the end of the Microsoft thing. It's going to be on the Xbox 360, Xbox One, and PC. So it's not like a true Xbox One exclusive, but you won't be able to play it on the PS4 or the PS3. But it's basically Call of Duty with mechs and a little bit of parkour and a little bit of a jetpack.
I could play that.
It looked okay, like it looked pretty interesting. Like this,
I'd want to see more, but I could play that.
Yeah, I mean it was the strongest showing of an actual game type game at their press conference, and it looked kind of interesting, but I. Like, something about the way the graphics looked really bland and, like, that, like, everything is gray and, like, dull brown, that looked really unappealing to me. And I don't like that. Like, the on-foot stuff just looked like Call of Duty to me, but when they, like, call down mechs that they call Titans, so it's like when a mech comes down, it's like, it's Titanfall. It's a good use of title. That, like, the mech stuff looked kind of interesting. And it seemed like they were doing a multiplayer match, but they sort of... The way they framed the multiplayer match sort of made it seem like it was a, like, campaign-type thing. Like, you were, like, in the lobby or whatever, like, when there was, like, a timer for the match to start. It was all these guys in, like, a dropship, and then the dropship went down, and when the match began, they all got out of the dropship, and then the match started. And then there were, like, people coming on your screen with, like...
There are people coming on your screen, Jesus.
Faces in the corner. Jonathan, for fuck's sake, what the fuck is wrong with you? There were people, faces in the corner, digital faces. And they were yelling at you, like, your Titan is ready to deploy and stuff like that, which made it... The framework seemed very campaign-driven. That was kind of interesting. But yeah, that was the tail end of the Microsoft thing, leading into the second press conference of the day, which was the EA one. I'm not going to go into detail with the EA or the Ubisoft one. One, because my webpage is not loading that I have my notes on. But anyways, the EA one was basically... They revealed, like, not a whole lot of really interesting games. They showed Titanfall, which was kind of cool. Like, they went a little more in-depth with it than what was shown at the Microsoft event. And, let's see, their car game was Need for Speed Rivals, which looks like a car game. There was some sort of integration with, like, iPads or something that showed, someone was controlling a helicopter. There was no specifics. There's a dude with an iPhone, and they said he was controlling a helicopter. I don't know how that worked. Why he was controlling a helicopter, what the helicopter did, don't fucking know. But that happened.
I still would rather do it with my controller.
Yeah, I mean, I think that stuff is more made for, like, you know, if someone who doesn't play a lot of video games could play with you, or,
okay,
like,
okay.
If you're walking around, you could just be on
it's
your iPhone.
It's second screen kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
okay. Exactly. It's not, like, I did not get the sense that it's like, this is the feature that we're basing our entire game around, is cross-platform multiplayer with your iPhone. It wasn't that. It was like a throwaway thing. That's sort of like what that was all over the conferences. But anyways, so there was that. That was their car game, requisite car game. It's really important. There was a Dragon Age 3 Inquisition trailer. That Dragon Age Origins is a really fantastic BioWare RPG that came out this generation. Dragon Age 2 kind of sucked. So Dragon Age Inquisition looked kind of cool. The really awesome, like, the breakout character from Origins, Morgan, was sort of, like, heavily featured in the trailer, so it's cool to see that character back. That was kind of cool. Then there was a lot of sports, because EA Sports, it's in the game.
It makes sense they would do that.
Yeah, there was sort of like the, we're going to bring on this dude who plays basketball, and then this guy, these, like, dudes from the UFC, and I think Dana White, his, like, head of the UFC or whatever his position is, he came on there, and he is, like, this, like, such a, like, boisterous showman, where he was, like, talking about, like, he had this thing where it's, like, before, like, the first sport was fighting, and it's like, there are two men put on this planet, one of them threw a punch, and then someone else came over and watched, and that's, like, that's what sports is, and it was just kind of, like, this weird, he's touting brutalizing other human beings as this, like, fantastic, just, like, it is what humanity is about kind of thing. It's really kind of creepy. Let's see, they talked about NBA Live with Bounce Tech. Another great, just like kind of like Dravatar.
That
cars.
Needs to be the name of a game. Bounce yeah. Tech.
Bounce Tech, which is that's where they're dribbling, where it's like it seems like they're like realistically modeling the physics of the ball in the game. They didn't go into details about how that affects how the way you play a basketball game, but
we custom rendered every single bump in the
yeah,
rubber
yeah.
on the basketball.
Every single thread on the yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like every scuff mark on the court is realistically rendered based on the patterns on the bottom of the player's shoes and what they were walking in prior to coming onto the court. No, it wasn't Drive Club okay. level of enthusiasm.
Okay.
There's that. What was the other interesting things they showed? They had a long Battlefield 4 demo, which was the first game demo that I was like, this is fucking awesome, because like completely contrary to the campaign thing they showed in Microsoft, this is multiplayer. It was a great reveal of like this of how they did it, where they sort of like lifted this curtain on the back of the stage, and then you saw there was like this like these sort of like bleachers with desks set up like three rows high with 64 people at PCs playing a 64 multiplayer match like on like live on the stage, and they sort of like there's a lot of interesting stuff. This was where the I sort of took notice of the like companion iPhone tablet integration stuff, because it was like sort of. I think this has been something that has been in other Battlefield games. I've never really played a Battlefield game before. It was sort of this commander view where, like, the person who had the iPad had a, like, top-down view of the map and could see, like, where players were and stuff and could set waypoints for players. And he was sort of communicating, being like, okay, guys, go around here, head to waypoint A, like, watch out, there's a tank on your right or something. And that seemed like a really cool way to sort of, like, integrate something like that. Like, it's interesting support role, for playing the game. But the cool thing about Battlefield 4 was Battlefield games have always been kind of famous for their like heavy destructibility of the environments. And there was like two really awesome moments in the demo where one, they were in the squad like trying to get to this skyscraper thing. And on the way there, they like went at this like highway overpass and they saw there was a tank on the overpass. And like, shit, tank! We need to find a way to take that out. So they went under the overpass. It's not like an overpass. It's more like a parking garage. So they went to like the under the parking garage, found a pillar, blew up the pillar, and then the parking like that floor collapsed with the tank on it. So the tank fell down to the hole, was trapped, and then another dude planted C4 on the tank and blew it up. And that all looked fantastic. Like the way the physics on the destructible environments rendered, like the way the concrete crumbled looked so fucking good. That was like one of my first like that's a next gen game kind of thing. But that was completely blown out of the water, where the sort of kiss-off part of the whole demo was at the very end. They went to the skyscraper, went to the top of the skyscraper, and then a guy in a helicopter sort of floated up, and they were fighting this guy with the helicopter, and then they defeated the helicopter, and then, like, the buildings kind of started shaking. They're like, what is, like, do you guys feel that rumbling? Like, what is that? And then they look at it, it's like, oh, shit, there's, like, four tanks shooting at the skyscraper. This thing is going to collapse. And they all jumped off the top of the skyscraper, like, pulled parachutes, and then the guy turns around, and you see the skyscraper crumble. Like, it was really, like, impressive that the way the skyscraper crumbled, where it was, like, sort of tilted a little bit, and it's like, when a building crumbles, it's like, it doesn't fall over. It's like, it's sort of, like, one part gives way, and then it sort of collapses on itself, and then, like, the heavy part collapsing on the lower part causes, like, this sort of chain reaction, and it was, like, and, like, huge dust clouds pop up. Like, that's the way it looked, and it was, like, totally fucking shit. And it didn't look scripted at all. Like, the demo obviously was choreographed, but it was clearly live. Like, the destruction of the skyscraper and the parking garage did not look like that was a every single time you do that, like, the specific thing happens kind of thing. And, like, it looked really natural and really fucking cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Will that be on PS4 and...
Yes, Battlefield 4. It'll even be on 360 and PS3, but I don't know, like...
I may have to pick that game up.
Yeah, I'm really curious about, like...
I have not played Battlefield before, but that's one of those series I would love to get in on the next gen and really see what they're doing with it.
Yeah, it seems that multiplayer stuff is a lot more interesting than sort of what Call of Duty's been doing multiplayer side, whereas Call of Duty is weirdly focusing more on the single player, whereas the Battlefield single player stuff looked really dull. Then,
and when is that coming out?
I don't know. It'll be probably a launch thing.
That's all.
I don't know for sure. Like, don't take my word on that. But
it's not like coming out in 2015.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's definitely not that far. Like probably spring 2014 would be the latest we'd see that title.
Yeah.
Then there were two other things shown off, because EA is this the publishing firm that got the LucasArts like Star Wars games publishing deal, and so they like had like a 5-second teaser of Star Wars Battlefront, which that was cool because Battlefront is basically Star Wars-styled Battlefield, and Star Wars Battlefront 2 on the original Xbox was a great, great fucking game, so seeing like that little tease was awesome. And then the Mirror's Edge 2, where the real original Mirror's Edge was sort of like a cult game that I didn't... Like, I thought it was a really cool kind of game, but it felt really flawed. It was sort of like a first-person parkour, like a first-person platformer, and it's cool to see them making a Mirror's Edge 2, because that is a game that... like, didn't sell really well, but it had such a good idea that it needs, like, a sequel to, like, fully realize it. So it's cool there's no, like, sort of, like, projected release date on that. Like, the trailer said, like, releases when it's ready, basically. So, but yeah. So the EA thing, a lot cooler. Like, there weren't, like, any, like, big game reveals that I was like, holy shit, like, this game is coming out now. But, like, it was just a steady, like, yeah, that's good. Like, even the sports stuff, I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting. It was like, the bounce tech stuff, yeah, okay. Like, UFC, well, that's
one of those,
really good.
It's one of those cases where you and I may not play sports games, but we understand why certain people have fun with them.
Yeah, yeah, and I can see where they're, like, trying to make improvements in it, and it seems interesting to me. So,
yeah.
EA, big step up. I was like, after, like, the Battlefield 4 stuff and the Mirror's Edge reveal, I was like, okay, this next-gen stuff is starting to look interesting in a way that it has not as of yet.
And I will promise any sports, like, video game developer out there, if you actually put out a basketball game with bounce tech in the title, I will buy that.
Yeah,
guarantee, promise, I will buy that.
Yes. So, then, moving on, the next press conference of the day is Ubisoft. And here, I'm only really going to talk about two Ubisoft things, because most of the Ubisoft conference was, like, talking about known quantities that I didn't care a whole lot about. Like, you know, Assassin's Creed 4 was there, and Watch Dogs was there. It's cool to see Watch Dogs. But
we've seen Watch Dogs a lot at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Watch Dogs was the big Ubisoft new IP that got revealed at last year's E3 that really stole the show. So this year's E3, I was not really expecting them to show off anything really startlingly new. There were two games that were fucking awesome that I want to talk about. It's like, I'm trying to remember what the name of one of them was, but it was their requisite driving game, and if there are driving games I'm going to get this generation, there are two of them. There's Drive Club, and then, I'm sorry I can't find the name of this game, it's completely unmemorable name, but the car game that revealed at the Ubisoft press conference, it was basically, the notable thing that got released about it is it's sort of an open world thing, but apparently the game world is the contiguous United States. Oh, okay, Jonathan found the name. The name of the game is The Crew. Really generic name.
Yeah.
That's why I forgot about it. But yeah, so the contiguous United States of America is the map of the game. Like, the guy, after the E3 press conference, they had a Q&A session, and they basically asked, like, specifically, it's like, so you can really, like, the whole fucking thing? And they're like, yeah, no, like, if you wanted to drive from Los Angeles to New York, you could. It's like, holy shit, okay, that's fucking crazy. And it seemed like it was also not, like, just a racing game. There was a lot of car customization. There's sort of, like, a team thing where it's like they had to knock this car off the road. So that was kind of cool.
I think those sounds like really good ideas for a driving game. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that looked really interesting. So that was, like... And then, at the very end, they revealed another new IP, which this one was interesting because the way they revealed it was a lot like the way they revealed Watch Dogs, which was sort of like this weird teaser, like, we are really paranoid and we're living in this, like, fragile society and everybody thinks we're fine, but if one thing goes wrong, we're all fucked. And for Watch Dogs, it's like, if one man can get, like, we're all connected by this technology, if one man can control it, he can control society. And this one was like, we can all get infected by diseases, and money can carry diseases, so if a disease gets on money, we're fucked. It was basically the premise, and at first I was so concerned when I saw that of like, oh god, they're going to show a zombie game. It's like the last thing we need is another fucking zombie game. But luckily, the name of the game is Division. Tom Clancy's The Division. We pulled out the Tom Clancy name for this, which is like, this is not part of an existing franchise. And it was really interesting, like a really long, like 8-minute gameplay demo of basically these four players, like in the, like New York, but like completely sort of decimated because like it seems like the population is kind of destroyed by this like intense viral outbreak. Like as they were walking around, they saw bodies on the ground that like a little scanning thing would come up and it'd be like infected. And it's like, stay the fuck away from that guy. And basically it was four people playing co-op and they actually had like this like voice chat like put in for like the characters, so like the people were talking to each other as you would if you were playing the game and talking to your other friends playing the game. And they basically just went to a police station, got in a fight at the police station with like some other like evil group of people, and got like went in, looted the police station, got like a gun, and like that at that point I was like, oh shit, like there's also like a skill tree here, and there's sort of like an RPG thing going on, that's really fucking cool. And then they leave. And then all of a sudden they get thrown into a PvP match with other players. Like they just run into another group of players walking around in the environment and get into a fight. That was sort of the end of the demo. And it was really, really interesting because it's like completely unexpected. It's really cool to see, kind of like remind me a lot of Destiny, of this sort of emergent co-op or journey. It's like emergent co-op, like It's not massively multiplayer per se, but it will just drop people into each other's worlds seamlessly, and so you'll just, like, run into other people. It's always cool to see shooting games have RPG elements, like digging into that, having open-world stuff I'm always a big fan of. And then also just in terms of, like, the next-gen factor, like, the way, like, there was, like, this one part that was really impressive-looking where the guy was hiding behind a car and, like, shooting across at another dude who was behind the car, like, on the other side of the street. And just watching, like, the bullets fly through the window was really impressive. Just the way they modeled the way the windows shatter and, like, the bullet holes was really cool. And the guy, like, shoots the tire of the car that the other guy's taking cover behind, and the car, like, sinks a little bit lower so the guy can get a shot in over on him. That was really cool to see, like, it's just, like, felt like the cool thing about next-gen isn't necessarily that the graphics look a lot better, but that, like, things react more realistically to things. Just, like, glass reacts more realistically to bullets. Tires react more realistically to getting popped. That kind of stuff just, like, seems really interesting, creates much more natural chances for gameplay emerging from the scenarios. So, Ubisoft, also fucking cool. Like, most of the press conference wasn't really into, but those two games, just getting two new IPs that both had really cool new ideas for how you play games, awesome.
Well, it shows that, like, there's going to be a lot of nice variety on the next-gen consoles.
Yeah, yeah.
That there's, like, people are developing really interesting new ideas. We're not just getting at launch just sequels.
Yeah. I mean, I should say...
They're probably not a lot,
yeah,
but you know what I
yeah,
mean.
Yeah, like, yeah. Because it's just not real now.
People are at least actively developing.
Yeah, yeah, and we're finding out about them. Yeah. I love this style of Ubisoft's reveals, where when they reveal a fucking game, it's not a cinematic trailer bullshit. They, like, give you an 8-minute demo of the game being played on stage.
I mean, that's why with, what was the... Watch Dogs. I get it mixed up with Sleeping Dogs, sorry.
Yeah.
But anyway, Fair enough. Watch Dogs. I just remember that took the internet by storm when that happened, because it was, like, that style of gameplay we hadn't seen before. It was so amazing that this was running.
Such a cool idea. Yeah. Like, the whole, like, smartphone thing, like, allows for a lot of cool, like, gameplay ideas.
And it's the same with these two.
Everybody should take notice of this, because this is the fucking way you reveal video games, as far as I'm concerned. It's a video game. It's not a movie. When you show the video game for the first time, show the fucking video game, and you will get me excited for it.
Yes.
Yeah. So... So Ubisoft, that was...
Show off your balance tech.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounded really dirty in a weird... Yeah.
Bounce tech, that should be used for fighting games, you know? Because for some reason, fighting games always have to have really sexy women. Games need that goddamn bounce tech.
For that matter, bounce tech could be the first great plastic surgeon game.
Yeah, exactly. And so, anyways, so that was Ubisoft... So that was cool.
On to the main event.
Yes, and on to the last major press conference of really E3. We still have Nintendo, but Nintendo did a very different thing this E3.
They had a guy standing in front of a white wall.
Yes.
You know the drill.
Exactly. So they had... Okay, we'll talk about that. But with PlayStation, you know, Sony had the longest press conference, and it's also... I like how they were positioned with this whole thing, how they, like, revealed the console in February, and then now that they got the last say at E3... Because, specifically, if you follow the news the way I did, it was like, they had such a great position, because it was like, Microsoft's reveal fell really flat, to me and to a lot of people online. And then the other press conferences, like EA and Ubisoft, got me a lot more excited about, like, okay, I can see, like, these multi-platform games are looking really interesting. Like, it got me sold on the idea of next-gen by the time I got into Sony, so it's like, Sony didn't need to do that work. So, like, the positioning just worked out really well for them, where it's like, I was... really excited coming into Sony's press conference. So, here we go. This is like Sony's big fucking press conference. Started out, basically, they talked a lot about PS3 and Vita, sort of laid the groundwork for, you know, when, like, you know, we've got Last of Us coming out on Friday. Super fucking excited for that game. God's
so
Souls
good.
Is coming out later this year.
And I should note, I have watched chunks of this conference so I can talk about it a little more. I was happy to see them show that they are clearly still supporting PS3 and Vita especially. And I like their commitment to saying, Vita's still young, we really want to support it. I like hearing that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's going to have connectivity features with the PS4, which will give it more life. And it's the Vita's sort of being able to come into its own, where there are a lot of indie games coming out on the Vita now that are... really interesting, and it's like a really good format for that kind of game. So yeah, like they sort of laid the groundwork, talking about that. The Walking Dead 400 Days, that sort of got revealed. That's going to be like on fucking everything, because the original Walking Dead was on everything, but it's basically I think it's going to be like an in-between thing, like a short, like one episode, like the five stories thing that'll be set in between Season 1 and the upcoming Walking Dead Season 2. So that looked kind of
interesting. I will probably play Walking Dead now because I can play it on my Vita.
Yeah. And there's something to say, there's like a public message that for the Walking Dead 400 days, I've read that it does take in choices you made in Walking Dead Season 1. So if you're going to play Walking Dead 400 days, play it on the system you played the original Walking Dead. So it will take those choices in, and then also hopefully that will be the system you play Season 2 on, because they also said basically it's going to take those choices there too. So
awesome.
So pick whatever system you feel you will be committed to. But yeah. So
Vita is easy because I can just take it around with me.
Exactly, yeah. And this, yeah, Walking Dead is a game that's totally fine on sort of any format. And like, except for iPhone, apparently, because like that version
really it's terrible.
Completely broken. But yeah. Moving on from The Walking Dead, they then showed off the PlayStation 4. Have you looked at the console design itself?
Yeah, I actually watched this part of the conference,
okay,
and
yeah.
I liked how big a deal they made out of it with the flashing lights and everything. And they had a lot of flashing lights at that conference.
Yeah, they did. Sony has the coolest fucking stages.
They do.
Like, they always, it's just like, I don't know what they do, because it's like, because, you know, their fucking reveal event was like in New York. So it was on the other side of the goddamn country. Looked like the same stage.
They did.
Like,
it really
the same,
did.
Like, cool, it's like all black, but then like these like big blue spotlights that just like go up and down.
And
like
guess,
this huge fucking screen.
And I guess that's because Sony, that's what Sony does, their video text. You know, they make, you know, video technology and stuff, so they can do that easier. But yeah, they, you know, then they showed it off visually, like with on the screens, and then the guy brought it out holding it, and I think it looks.
I thought it was like really cool thing to also they like because they had the guy who actually designed the form factor of the console like walking out on stage. I thought that was a nice touch, like a cool thing to give that dude a nod. Because I thought, yeah, I like the design. I have like, I'm a big fan of parallelograms, so the console basically being a big fucking, like, three-dimensional parallelogram, that's cool.
I love the sentence, I'm a fan of parallelograms.
It's a cool fucking...
I agree.
It is an underrated shape, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
If you've got a rectangle and you want to make it cool, you italicize it, make it a parallelogram. Fucking awesome.
Absolutely, and I think in comparison...
That's one of the Xbox's, Microsoft's biggest mistakes. Just a fucking box. It's just a goddamn rectangle. That's not interesting. Parallelogram, slant it. Sexy.
And I have no problem with how the Xbox One looks, but it does just kind of, it's just, it's a brick.
It just looks like a thing, whereas PlayStation 4 looks sexy.
It looks sexy, and I think it's a little weird that we're getting two consoles that are just this black and also have that split between matte and gloss.
Yeah, they have the sort of like two-tone thing going on.
But it's fine, I think the PS4 looks nice. Both of these consoles are smaller physically than I would have expected.
Yeah. It's nice to see that they're not going to be like big hunking things like the original Xbox.
And I think...
The Xbox One.
I think the PS4 design is my favorite design for a PlayStation so far, because while I like the PS3 we have, for instance, the Slim, you can't stack anything on it because it's curved.
Yeah.
So I like that this thing, you could stack something on it if you want or put it on top of something, but it still has a sexy look.
Yeah.
That's the genius of parallelograms.
Exactly! I'm so glad you're behind me on this. Parallelograms, great fucking shape.
Yes.
Needs to be in more things.
They should have dropped that word like 10 times during the reveal.
Yeah. Like, parallelogram, motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's here.
Alright, so
here.
All the shitty, stupid, piece of shit fanboys who
really... Yeah, like, the dumbest complaints in the world is like, you didn't show the fucking console. They're just like, fuck Sony. It's like,
so are they all happy
you
now, Sean?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I mean, they should be. They got a... Not only did they get a console, they got a parallelogram-shaped console. So.
I know. It was worth the wait.
Exactly.
All right.
It's like, you've got fucking this, like four lines, and they never meet if they went on forever. Parallel. Awesome. Anyways. Okay, so then after they revealed the PS4, they had sort of like their, like a good like 10-15 minutes of sort of countering the Xbox reveals sort of the heavy emphasis on multimedia by being like, hey guys, you can do that shit on our console too. It's like, you might have to press a button on the remote to watch your live TV for all the people who do that, but you can watch Netflix. They made like a deal where Redbox Instant Streaming will be on PS3, Vita, and PS4, so that's cool. It's like they had like a dude from like the Sony Pictures, like the movie division, come out, and he was talking about how they're looking to do like unique programming that will only be available on the Sony platforms. So it's like, it feels like the future of TV is this. Everybody, like every like dude who makes a streaming service or makes a box that you can watch something on, they're all gonna make their own goddamn TV shows. So
yes,
I'm really curious to see how all that shit's going to pan out, because it's like, it feels like, like, Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, Microsoft, and Sony are not all going to be able to do this at the same time.
No, of course not.
Like, that's just such a ridiculous amount of, like, weird, unique programming, but...
Yeah, so, but who knows, maybe we'll get Oh, I was going to make a joke, Ratchet and Clank the TV series, but they're making a movie, so never mind.
God of War, the TV show, I want to see the fucking just...
Like Spartacus, where it's just all like...
Tits and just like some like big motherfucking dude, have Dwayne Johnson plays Kratos.
We need to make this.
Picks up a dude and just rips him in half. Make it God of War, the TV show. There's not a whole lot of space in the God of War mythos to set another story, but I'm gonna fuck.
The Spartacus TV show on Starz just ended. That whole crew is ready.
Exactly.
They need work.
Fucking exactly. Get Ted Raimi on it. Let's go! God of War, the TV show, hopefully coming soon to a PlayStation console near you. Okay, then, yeah, so they talked about that. So that's, you know, multimedia stuff. We'll be able to do it on everything because everything does it. You'll also be able to do it on your PS4, and there will be advantages to that, so...
The only difference is that the PS4 is not called the PS1.
Exactly. The only difference is you can't watch live TV, and that's the vital live TV. It's the future, Jonathan.
I think that's the antonym.
I think I was making a joke.
Yes. I know.
Live TV. But yeah, then Sony... Then this started the, like, we're going to show off a bunch of games portion of Sony's announcements, where they showed off... Like, and this is the only kind of disappointing thing about the Sony announcement, but I understood because they showed so much games at the reveal event that there wasn't, like, a... Like, if there had been a new game revealed, like, Ubisoft style of, like, my dream would be, here's God of War, but in Norse mythology, fucking, yes. Like, I want, like, something like a big, just, like, fuck yeah reveal, like, a effectively new IP coming out. That would have been really awesome, like, with, like an actual gameplay demo. They didn't do that, but they did show a cinematic trailer for this game called Order 1886, also game... Super hard to remember that name. I always remember the order. Hard to remember specifically 1886, but it's the Order 1886. And it sort of looks like it's a steampunk London thing where... And actually, the trailer was really cool. And it seems like they're fighting, like, werewolves. There might be, like, other supernatural monsters in there. Not sure, but definitely saw some silhouettes of some werewolves. So, Order 1886, like, don't know much about what the game is. It's probably going to be, like, a four-person co-op, third-person shooter with some cool weapons. Steampunk weapons is going to be my guess, but... That was a cool little trailer. Then they had a like long series of showing off the like of trailers, showing off the games they revealed at the Sony event: Drive Club, Knack, Killzone Shadowfall, and Infamous Second Son. And those are all pretty cool looking trailers. You know, Infamous Second Son in particular had a cool like story focused trailer that I was really happy to see because Infamous is one of my favorite PS3 exclusive titles. So seeing that head into PS4. Looking really cool, and having a new sort of hero with new fire powers looks really interesting. And then this started one of my favorite sections of the whole PlayStation conference, which was where, you know, when Microsoft came on stage, they talked, they were like, we've got Microsoft, so we're pro-indie. Sony went on stage, and they're like, hey, you know all these indie developers, like Supergiant Games that made Bastion, and like all these guys that have won these awards at the recent IGC stuff, like... They're on stage, and they're making... And they're all their titles, like Don't Starve, like Transistor, which is the new game from Supergiant Games, Octodad, The Dadliest Catch, like all these well-known recent indie games will be coming onto PlayStation 4, sort of like showing these indie developers solidarity with the Sony platform. And that's really cool. Like, that was a really, really, really cool part of the presentation, because it was like, one, you can self-publish. Like, if you're an indie on PlayStation 4 or Vita, you are actually an indie. Like, you do not need to go through Sony to publish your game. You do not need to pay them inordinate amounts of money to get your game on their service. You can, like, anybody can self-publish on Sony. That's fucking cool. And bringing out all these developers on stage to demonstrate that is just... It's so fucking smart. Because that is where... That, like, for me, like looking ahead, that is, a large part of, I think, where the industry is heading, because the last 2 or 3 years, some of the biggest and most important games that have been made are effectively indie games, or at the very least are, like, smaller, really more focused titles. Like, Journey is one of the best goddamn games this entire generation, like, bar none.
And that wouldn't have happened without, you know, the PS3 there to host it.
Yeah, and, you know, Bastion, also phenomenal game. Transistor is looking awesome. Don't Starve looks really cool. Like Hotline Miami, FTL, To the Moon, fucking Dear Esther, Proteus, like the number of just really awesome, experimental, crazy, cool indie games that are being made on PC right now is awesome. And being able to access that on on a console so I can play it, like, because I like playing games with controllers. I like being able to sit on my couch to play my games. That's, like, being able to play that comfortably is going to be really cool. And it's also going to be awesome just to see these games be available for a much wider audience than they've ever been before, because you have to really seek these games out and be looking on PC, which is already a much smaller platform than the consoles, to be able to find these games at all. So them getting all this exposure from Sony is so, so fucking cool. And is like the second best part of the entire conference was just that. Just trouting these indies on stage and being like, these are going to be, like, these guys are going to bring their games that are out now onto our system, and damn sure they're going to make games for the system in the future, because it seems like they're making it really easy to do. There was, and then after that, Quantic Dream, the guys who make the Heavy Rain and the upcoming Beyond Two Souls, they had, if you, at the PS4 reveal event, they had a tech demo that showed an old man face being like, this is in the future of next-gen gaming. This is how we can make old man faces look. And they look so realistic, like with the wrinkles. And then here, they had this great, great fucking tech demo that started with, I just loved, it had the old man head from that tech demo as, like, this character in this robe, like, playing this dark sorcerer, really overacting, and then, like, halfway through the demo, it sort of, like, pans out, and you realize it's all taking place on a set. It was, like, just a really, really funny, just kind of dumb tech demo that showed, like, really impressive emoting from the characters. Like, you've never been able, like, we've long had overacting in the voice acting in video games, but we've never had physical overacting in video games the way we will be able to in the future with the sort of shit that Quantic Dream was showing. So that was a lot of fun to see. See more indie game stuff. Square Enix showed Final Fantasy 15, which was Final Fantasy Versus 13, but then at the end of the trailer, they're like, no, this game's been in development for like 5 years, so fuck it. It's Final Fantasy 15 now. Like,
5 years, Sean. They literally talked about this at the E3 where the PS3 was announced. Oh, we are a generation out with Versus 13, and I don't.
It's so weird to think that Final Fantasy 13 is the only main, like, proper Final Fantasy title that got released this generation.
Yeah, and 14 was a disaster.
Yeah, 14 was an MMO. Then, like, obviously 13 is getting its sequels, but
yeah, I think it's weird too. And you know, my hope with this is that they have spent so much time developing Versus 13 that it'll be 15. Really. Yeah, 15. That when it comes out, it'll be A, you know, different from past Final Fantasy titles because it was developed as something it's on its own.
Yeah.
And that it'll be polished because they have spent this much time putting the effort into it. Or it could be a total mess. I don't know.
I mean, but I have to say, like, looking at the trailer, it got me a lot more interested in the Final Fantasy game than I usually would have been. I mean, it still was set in a, I mean, one, I like that, like, apparently everything is about, like, crystals again. Love that. That's, like, that's old school Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy 13 does that too. It's fun.
Oh, yeah. But like, this is like crystals. I don't know.
The 13, your whole EXP system is called the Crystallarium. It's what the menus are.
Yeah, but no, but I mean, like, the crystal is like this thing that, like, if it gets destroyed, like, it's like the crystal of wind, like Final Fantasy 1 style motherfucking power crystals that rule the world.
That'd be great.
That
kind of
crystal.
I love that stuff.
So that's like, I thought that was a nice touch. And it was like, it just looked, one, I always like when we see Japanese games that are early enough in their development that the trailers have Japanese voiceover. It's like, fucking just let me play a Final Fantasy game with the fucking Japanese voiceover track, for God's sakes. Like, it's, I mean, and even, like, the style of the game, they don't even look like anime characters anymore. They just look like Japanese people. Like, they so it's like, just let me fucking have the Japanese voiceover track if I want it, please. But, yeah. Final Fantasy, it looked interesting. Like, it looked like it has a much more action-y style combat. Like, I didn't get a good grasp on it because it was, like, really quick.
Well, it's from the Kingdom Hearts team.
Yeah.
It's that kind of, I mean, this is one, if I have a PS4, I will, well, it's on Xbox One also, we know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a game I will pick up because I think it'll be fun to see how
it's a game at least I will wait for the reviews.
Yes.
Like, it is one I'm not dismissing offhand the way I did Final Fantasy 13 when that got revealed. I was like, this looks like so much bullshit. It came out and everyone was like, this is so much bullshit.
And I like 13 just fine, but, like, I am excited to see.
The world disagrees.
I am excited to see how it transitions into the next generation.
Yeah. But, like, I was so impressed by them making me give a shit about Final Fantasy at all. Like, I wish, my dream would be that, like, that Agni's Philosophy tech demo that they've showed off for a couple of years now, that would evolve into a Final Fantasy game, because that has a much more interesting setting. Like, this is still a near pseudo-weird kind of future where everybody has guns, but then the main characters use swords because swords are cool, even though that makes no fucking sense. But yeah, so that's Final Fantasy 15. They also, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Finally.
It's happening. Like, holy fucking shit. Like, I was not expecting
it. It is theoretically happening. I will believe Kingdom Hearts.
They announced it in, like, properly with, like, there was a small trailer. There was Kingdom Hearts 3.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's kind of late into this generation, though, because they're...
It's not going to come out right away. Like, it was a tease for the future.
Right.
It was clearly not, like, kind of like Mirror's Edge 2. Would not expect to hear, like, to see anything from it until, like, late 2014 or 2015, but...
Yeah.
The Kingdom Hearts 3, I think, is going to happen. Like, this, like, I don't think they would show that teaser and just be like, we're never making it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Theoretically, it will come out one day.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that team doesn't have a great track record at releasing games in a timely fashion, obviously.
No.
But maybe that's just because of Versus 13. Like, they were doing fine until they got on Versus 13, and they're like, this is going to take the whole goddamn console generation to the point where we're just going to make it on PS4 and call it 15 now.
Yeah.
So maybe now that they're, like, finishing that, like, presumably they've been, like, there's probably been behind the scenes Final Fantasy 15 for a long time, I would guess, if they're, like, already doing all Kingdom Hearts 3 stuff.
And having to rework it as a next-gen title.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, what else we got?
Kingdom Hearts 3, just some other games, Oddworlds, Abe Odyssey remake, they had Lord Lanning on stage, that was kind of cool. Final Fantasy 14, we fucked up the first time, so we're doing it again, that will be on the PS4, so
okay.
If you want to get your Final Fantasy MMO on, like, all the buzz around that is that they did a really good job remaking that thing from, like, beta and stuff, so that might be kind of interesting. Elder Scrolls Online will be on the PS4. I wasn't sure if that was exclusive to PS4. There was definitely, like, an open beta that was exclusive, but...
I thought they later announced it was for Xbox One also, but...
Yeah, it might very well be for Xbox One, but...
We'll see.
Mad Max, there's going to be a Mad Max game made by the guys who make Just Cause, so that's cool. There was, like, a short teaser trailer, so not a lot to say about that. And then that, like, and then they, like, said, they said a lot of stuff about, like, we've got, like, 140 games in development for the PS4 and stuff like that. Like, you basically know how Microsoft said numbers at their conference, we're going to say higher numbers at ours.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's basically what that was. And then now, I guess, we get into the portions where it's like, they basically stopped talking about new games. There was Destiny stuff at the very end that was cool, but we can talk about that after. This, like, is the part of the press conference where they're like, you know how you hate everything that Microsoft is doing? We're not doing that stuff.
This was the part of the conference where they took Microsoft, bent them over the table, and just fucked them and fucked them and fucked them.
Yes.
Over
they,
and
they
over
told
again.
Them, lie back and just take it.
Yes. That's basically it.
Yeah.
And people applauded for it.
Yeah, no, people applauded. There were, when I was watching the live stream, there was like a good half of the audience started chanting, Sony, Sony, Sony. When they came on stage, it was like, we are not applying any used game restrictions on the PlayStation 4, and it does not need to be connected online at any point. It does not need to register if you do not have an internet connection, and you just want to buy fucking games off of, like, fucking, like, lawn sales, and that's how you want to do it. PS4, go ahead. Fucking do it. Like, we're fine.
And they were specifically... I was so surprised at how specifically they were targeting Microsoft in this portion.
Yeah.
Because what's the CEO's name?
Jack Tretton.
Jack Tretton came out, and he was using the same lingo that Xbox was using, but in reverse. And he was saying, you don't... You know, no persistent online connection, none of this stuff. You know, if you want to borrow a game, you can just do that. And he even said, like, if you're the kind of gamer who doesn't like playing online and just wants to play single-player campaigns, we're happy to have you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's... And it was sort of like the entire thing, I guess, like in a broader sense with Sony, that they just maintained at a pitch-perfect level their attitude from their reveal event of, like, we know we've made mistakes. We've fucked up in a lot of stuff with PlayStation 3, but we're going to fix that. And it's like, we're going to make a game that is easy to develop for and that is consumer-friendly. We're making a game for game developers and for gamers. Like, that is what our system is. And it's like, they so nailed that note that, like... The resounding applause when they came on stage and were like, we are not fucking with you guys the way that that our opponents are. The applause was fucking thunderous, and it made sense why it was thunderous. This was like an incredible moment, because I honestly did not, because they did, like, Sony basically more or less kind of felt like they said this at the reveal event, but it was like a little more cagey, and there was this sense of, like, I would not have been surprised if there were similar restrictions on the PlayStation 4, because I know that like one of the main reasons this stuff is happening at all is because the major publishers like EA and Activision are putting pressure because they want to eat into the used game business. Like, that's where the real pressure is coming from on Microsoft and Sony. And it's fucking cool to see Sony draw a line in the sand and just say, if you buy a physical product, you will be able to use it the way you expect a physical product to be used. And that is it. I'm going to say right now, like, the PlayStation 4 is the console I'm looking at. Like, this place, this console I'm going to get. Almost, like, a huge part of that is because it's almost like a weird moral thing. Like, I don't usually try to do this, but at a certain point, like, we're hitting an area with the way we handle digital goods that there's a fight needs to start happening, and where we figure out, like, on a government level, like on a nation, at least for America, level of, this is how we handle DRM. This is what digital goods are. These are the rights you have to these digital goods. It's like, and people will not infringe on them. It's like, whether we get rid of first sale rights and shit like that, I don't know. But it's like, that fight needs to happen, but that fight needs to happen in the digital realm. And like, having Sony draw a line on physical goods is what needs to happen, because that's bullshit. Like, if we're getting, it's way too soon to get rid of discs and making discs just digital games. It's way too fucking soon for that. We're not ready to have the fight on digital rights yet, so like, Sony being able to postpone that, hopefully, for the foreseeable future is a great fucking thing. So it's like, if you're someone who is at all concerned with like issues of ownership and consumer rights, it's like a weird sort of like responsibility to back Sony, or at the very least not buy the Xbox One, effectively as a boycott, to like put your money where your mouth is and say, these are the rights I expect to have with the things I buy, and I will only buy these things because I have these rights for them.
And I think, you know, fundamentally why people, you know, you cheer so loudly at this is, especially because we know now that exclusives are not the selling point.
Yeah, multi-platform titles are the things to get excited about.
And what we're seeing here is, if you buy a PS4, not only is it just a more powerful piece of hardware on its own, but if you buy a game for it then, and let's say you buy Battlefield 4 for the PS4 instead of the Xbox One, you own more of it, essentially.
You
really own that, and your money counts for more. And, you know, your time invested in playing it and having that system counts for more.
Mm-hmm.
You're just getting more for your money because you're not being restricted.
Yeah, and 20 years from now, if you're like,
yes,
Battlefield 4 was a fun fucking game, I kind of want to play that, guess what? You will be able to fucking play it on the PS4.
Yes. And it was so amazing to me to see just how thunderous the applause was.
So
and he just kept ratcheting it up and ratcheting it up and saying more, and people applauded more. To the point where when he announced that now you have to pay for playing online games, no one cared. They applauded for that too.
Yeah.
It was like, we love you, Sony. You can do anything.
Yeah. This is like, you know, like the... That's like kind of a contentious thing that Sony did, like really quickly just be like, and for PS4 games, PlayStation Plus membership is required to play online multiplayer. Although that they have said that that's the only thing, there is no... And Netflix and like everything online is behind that paywall. It's just online multiplayer.
And people clap for that too, knowing that you don't have to pay, you know, $60 a year to have fucking Netflix.
Yeah, but I'm actually kind of happy that they put the online multiplayer behind that paywall, because that's going to extend the amount that people buy the PlayStation Plus service, which then... I'm hoping that one of the main reasons Sony is doing this is to create a revenue stream from their online service that they can then feed back into their online service and thus make it more competitive with Xbox Live Gold.
Yeah.
Because important thing to note, PlayStation Plus, these are services, like, that's a service that both you and I have, that a lot of people have, because it's a good service already. So, like, hiding that behind the paywall does not affect us in any way, shape, or form.
No, I would continue with that service no matter what, because I feel like I get a hell of a lot of value out of it.
Like, you should, like... If you're getting a PS4, you should just get PlayStation Plus, regardless if they did that or not, just because it is such a great value.
I mean, at a certain point, I don't buy PS3 or Vita games. I just play the free stuff that comes out, because they put out good quality games.
Yeah, for fuck's sake. Like, they just put out Deus Ex Human Revolution, which is a game I'm going to start playing very soon that I'm so happy that's on there, because that's a game I've wanted to play.
We got Sleeping Dogs for free.
Yeah, I got Sleeping Dogs. That's an awesome game. Saints Row the Third is going to be coming out of the service in a couple of weeks. Like, that's... awesome stuff. VLR, like Virtue's Last Reward, that's a visual novel I've wanted to play. That's coming on there. Like, it's a fucking great service.
And here's the coolest thing, is that day one you'll get Drive Club with PlayStation
Plus. Yeah, and then also the bunch of those indie games like Don't Starve, it sounded like those are going to be there, even if not day one, like within like the first month and
so
stuff.
There's this extra active incentive to be loyal if you have PlayStation Plus already, because when you buy the PS4, you bring it home, you don't even have to go to the store and buy a game, you'll
and
have
you
a free game.
You can engage in team-based racing. Drive Club.
I mean, that's...
They trademarked the name 10 years ago. You can look it up.
I think I've been clear on this, that that's the game for the next-gen console just because of that, like, preview that guy did that I'm most excited for.
And one of the best game, like, just demos of all time.
How perfect is it that's the one they choose to give you for free on day one? That's like...
I wish they brought that dude back on stage and just had him talk about that for 15 minutes, just like... We wanted our game to be in as many hands as possible. We didn't make this game for money. We made it for our extreme and our just extreme passion and love for cars that we want to share with the world.
If I have to take out a second mortgage on my house, a third mortgage, I will not care.
But I'm not going to sell my cars, because that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
I really hope that dude has a garage full of like 20 cars, but he's got like this tiny little house because he spent all his money on cars. They hit the Xbox the PlayStation multiplayer stuff behind that play wall just for the PS4. Like, it's not going to affect the Vita or the PS3.
And it's the only thing they're hiding.
Yeah, it's the only thing. And it's still $10 less than Xbox Live Gold.
Yes.
That's an important thing to remember. It's like, oh, you get so much more value for it, and it's fucking cheaper. So, I get, like, some people are a little upset about that, but, like, for me, it's like... I see, like, in the long run for the system itself, it seems like a good thing, even if it might piss some people off. But, yeah, I understand it.
It's a way to, you know, they're being competitive with Microsoft on every other front. Why not this one, too?
Yeah. And then after that, that's when they revealed that they're going to release this holiday for $400 in the U.S.
$399.
Yes. So that's $399 also euros, and then, like, $349 pounds. So... basically the exact same distribution that Microsoft did, so, you know, like we said, that's a more complicated situation.
And I love this, Sean, as soon as this news came out, you were watching the conference, you texted me, Sony just fucked Microsoft.
Yeah. Like, after that, I was just like,
I mean, that's a killing.
I should probably tell Jonathan about this.
That's a killing blow. That's...
Yeah, it was for $100 less, like, that's
you get
fucking,
so much more!
Yeah. I mean, it's important, like, well, I think one of the canny things they've done is that the PlayStation 4 iCamera... will not be packaged in with it, so it's like, if you don't want the camera thing, you don't need to have it. It's only going to be $60 extra, so if you do want it, it'll still be $40 less than the Xbox One. It will also come with a 500-gigabyte hard drive.
Which is removable
and
upgradable.
Yeah, which is removable and upgradable, which that's... I prefer that so much more, because while, you know, at least you can get an external hard drive for the Xbox One, I don't want to have, like, another thing that I then have to, like, plug into the wall and then plug into there that's, like, sitting at my entertainment center. So it's, like, that's nice that you can, like, any sort of, like, whatever the form factor for that hard drive, you could buy any, like, third-party hard drive and, like, slap it in that motherfucker if you want, like, 100 terabytes or whatever. Crazy. But...
yeah.
It'd be, like, $100 million by like, 1 gigabyte.
I don't know how much... they are eating with this cost, but that is a good fair... I have no complaints about that price point.
Because it's fucking amazing, because it's also the more technically powerful system.
Yes.
Like, it's... so, like, it being the more technically powerful system, and it's $100 cheaper than the competition...
$399 is in no... that's just a nice, good value price. Like, there's...
yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I was... that was the level I was hoping for from the consoles. It's just like... like, it would be awesome if it was cheaper, but it's like, $400 is what I'm expecting for it to be like... yes, like $500 is an exorbitant. $400, okay.
I would not feel ripped off at all for that, because there are lots of things that cost more where you get way less. I mean,
like an iPad is an iPad like about as expensive as that, or like a little more.
An iPad's like $700.
Fuck.
The one I got at least.
Okay, Jesus.
Like, I think the lowest. I think the 16 gig iPad is actually $499. So they're $500, $600, $700. Yep. So
okay.
iPads are more expensive, and they do a hell of a lot less. So
So.
It's pretty cool. I think
$400 is a really, really great price. So, and then having that coming off of all of the, like, we're not fucking with you guys, and also you won't have to sell everything you own to be able to buy the PlayStation 4. It's cool.
Yeah.
Really fucking cool.
And we learned some stuff. We like, they are committed to getting the Gekai streaming.
Yeah, the Gekai streaming stuff. They've said it's going to be rolling out for certain PS3 titles, like early 2014.
So we know that's not something that's just like off in the future, indiscriminate.
Yeah.
They have a plan for it. When you buy it, you will be able to do some backwards compatibility somewhere down the line. I'm sure they'll get some really good games out for it. They know what their audience likes.
Mm-hmm.
And we already know there's a bunch of really good games coming for both systems, but most of them are also coming to the PS4. PS4 definitely has better exclusives in my mind.
Yeah, and then I should say, something just quick about the exclusives is that I haven't watched the whole thing, but I saw, a brief, 5 minutes from, a 20-minute demo on GameSpot that they did for Killzone Shadowfall. Killzone Shadowfall looks way more interesting than I was expecting it to. They're doing crazy shit. It looks I don't think they, literally did this, but it feels like they, looked at Far Cry 3 and they're like, what if Killzone 3 and Far Cry 3 fucking had a baby? Just do that and just make Killzone Shadowfall, because it looks like it's not open world, but it's a lot larger levels, and it's sort of, you've got a lot more abilities, you got this zip line thing you can shoot. It looks really fucking cool. So I was kind of lukewarm on Killzone Shadowfall, because we've had a lot of first-person shooters this generation. Killzone Shadowfall looks really cool.
Alright, so overall, how would you sum up Sony's E3 showing for the PlayStation 4?
Fucking holy shit, dude. Because this was the last one. It started at 7, I think, where we are, and then ended at 9:30, so it was a long fucking press conference. And maybe it only ended at 9. I don't think it was 2.5 hours, but it was a long press conference. A lot got said. Basically, all of it was good. Like I said, the only thing that was a little bit disappointing but still understandable was it would have been cool to see one big, awesome Ubisoft-style, Watch Dogs-type reveal of a game on stage. That would have been really cool to see, but not entirely necessary. Like I've said multiple times, the multi-platform games are the ones that right now are looking by far the most interesting for the next gen so far. And then, yeah, Killzone Shadowfall and Infamous Second Son look awesome. Knack seems kind of cool, but we don't know a lot about it. And fucking Drive Club. Team-based motherfucking racing. I still don't know what the fuck that is, but I'm so excited to find out.
I hope that game doesn't disappoint. I hope that game fulfills every dream I've ever had about life in general.
Yeah, God, Drive Club.
That's what they've promised, basically.
Yeah, but Sony, holy fucking shit. I was blown away at the end of that conference, because to save all that stuff, obviously you'd save the price for the end, but, saving the used game and the online, always online stuff for the very end just to be fuck Microsoft. Seriously? Fuck those guys? We're not those guys. That was such an amazing end that nobody was expecting. Everybody, every single website, every, gaming personality, gaming journalist I follow, all of them were saying, Sony is going to have used game restrictions. Sony is probably going to have always online. This is, people are digging into Microsoft because of this stuff, but, Sony has not been upfront about their policies on this either, so it's everybody was expecting that was going to be what they were going to come on. If they weren't going to say it at the press conference, it was going to come out afterwards. And so for them to just say on stage, and I like this interview, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but then I read an interview with someone working at Sony after the fact, them asking, so did you do all of this, always online stuff in reaction to Microsoft? And they're like, no, we just never, $400 was what we were shooting for. That was not a reaction to Microsoft showing their price first in the morning. We weren't all of a sudden fucking make it $400 instead of $500 or something. And also, apparently they're no, of course we're always going to let you guys use games. It's of course we're going to put an always online thing. We didn't even really think about that. So I don't know how, true that is, but Sony is really good at their messaging right now. Unbelievably good at their messaging.
I could believe that, because it seems like everything they've been showing, even the less exciting parts, are tailored to what they've been hearing from the community, and that they've been listening and that they've been reacting and really building organically out from what they think their customers want. And they seem to have the pulse down pat. They just know it. And so I can believe that they weren't seriously considering that, because I think if you have your head any amount out of the sand, you know nobody on Earth wants that.
Yeah.
Nobody.
And just going online after that press conference, which I, spent so much time online just looking at all, the fan reactions to this stuff. And it's every single website, Polygon and IGN and GameSpot and stuff had, polls about, did Sony or Microsoft win E3? And it was just, 95% Sony. All of them were just, there was not a single one of those polls where it's, Sony dipped below 90% in the public opinion.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude.
Fucking
Jack Tretton should run for president. He's got a 90% approval rating. It's crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, on our website, too, it's funny. We got this covered. We've had our gaming writers there have been doing a great job. Lots of E3 coverage.
Yeah.
And we're putting together a little project now where we're going to talk about all the gaming writers are going to chime in on who won E3, and it's all like, Microsoft makes us really sad, and Sony made us really happy because they listened to us, and they were all very eloquent on it, and I'm happy seeing those reactions. It's just funny, like, yeah, it's...
Yeah, like, there is not a... Like, there are some people who are being like, well, there's some stuff with, like, the Sony stuff that I'm not a fan of. Like, I don't think... Like, there are some people, like, rightly saying, like, you know, Sony did not show a lot of the exciting new titles at their press conference. But it's like, I can see if you can have a plush fight with that. But it's like, nobody is flat out saying, of course Microsoft won.
No, because...
Not a single fucking person I've seen online saying that. So.
Yeah. Probably some Xbox fanboys screaming on Reddit or something, but, you know.
Even then, like, even then, it was just like... It was kind of heartbreaking because it's like I'm in the same boat of like all these of a bunch of people on like some of the Halo fan sites I go to being like, I don't
know if I'm going to play Halo 5.
Yes. You mean Halo?
Yeah.
Halo 5 yet.
It's really sad for me because I don't know if there's any game that would make me buy a fucking Xbox One at this point. It looks like a flaming piece of fucking horse shit.
Yeah.
I don't want to be too rude because it's, you know, got good internals and stuff, but... Boy, have they made... They've been focusing on the things about it that annoy the hell out of me and don't interest me and are not things I would want to spend my money on.
Yeah.
And that's just... Especially when we know that Halo will maybe be the only casualty, but otherwise, we're going to have a lot of other really great games coming out for both systems.
Yeah.
And, you know, Halo Reach and Halo 4 aren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I will be keeping my 360 out for a long time to come.
Yeah, yeah. Like
it's not being bricked when Xbox Live goes, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not like just being like, oh, okay, we're a new platform.
Yeah.
Fuck 360, but yeah.
It's tough to think about, but you know, I love Halo. I can't spend $500 on Halo.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
I can't.
I really love Halo, and there is no fucking way you cannot justify that purchase just for that game. Like, maybe, like, 10 years from now when this console generation is coming to an end and we all have cybernetic implants and like all the crazy shit that will be happening to us 10 years from now, then I'll be like, oh, I can get an Xbox One for only like $200. And then I'll pick up all the exclusives I missed like I'm doing with the PS3 now. But But like for the foreseeable future. And even then, like, I do have like that 2014 release is pretty concerning for me with Halo.
Yeah. It is. And yeah, so it's just weird, but we've got a lot of good new stuff coming out, and I think if we're going to give our final thoughts here, I think you guys know what our thoughts are. Sean, if you're going to buy a next-gen console, what will it be?
A PS4. Yes.
No question.
Cheaper, it's better technically, it's got, for me personally, more interesting launch titles, and I know Sony has a lot of studios, like Naughty Dog, that are working on stuff that they haven't shown yet that it's like, holy fucking shit, I'm so goddamn excited for Last of Us coming out on Friday. Like, that game looks so awesome. And I'm so angry that they released the review embargo, like, a week ago.
I know.
Just like, fucking goddamn it. Like, now I have to avoid everywhere online. I don't want to know anything about it.
I'm going to have to come back up to the apartment this weekend. I've been living at home recently. I'm going to have to come up here and just spend a day sitting here playing Last of Us.
Yeah, fucking.
Because my PS3's up here.
Motherfucking Troy Baker, goddamn it.
Troy Baker's awesome.
Yeah. No, Titanfall, I'm pretty fucking sure that the Titanfall trailer, Troy Baker was voicing the main character in, like, the voiceover. So, you're just, like, Troy Baker, he's all of a sudden the new Nolan North. It's awesome. Like,
he's
going
great.
Into the future. Like,
did they just have him chained in a recording booth bringing script after script after script? It's like, you will be able to eat in a couple days, Troy, but keep recording for now.
Yeah, I don't know, but, God, dude's a great fucking voice actor.
He is.
It's good to see Kanji Tatsumi getting his own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... It's hilarious, but so much good stuff, and yeah, my basic, you know, here's how I would summarize my feelings at this point in the new console generation to come is I am actively disincentivized to get an Xbox One. There's no compelling reason for me to do that, and I am excited to get my hands on a PS4.
Yeah.
I want to spend those $400. I think it looks like it'll be a lot of fun to just get and play around with before you even put a game in, and then you put the games in, and it's Drive Club, and it's got, you know, team-based racing.
Exactly, and, like, realistically modeled lighting, and, like, the first stuff on the seats shift realistically based on how you get in and out of the seat, and you put in fucking seatbelts. Awesome.
And
team-based racing.
And I won't have to hook up a fucking camera to my TV to play it, and I can still buy games on discs because that's easy and fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
It'll be cool.
Man, I have never seen just... It's just brutal. Like, It's just this complete one-sided fight. It's like Sony is like Bane and Microsoft is Batman, and Sony just like lifted Microsoft over the head and just broke fucking back on his knee. Like, it's so crazy just how heavily they won these press conferences.
I mean, and neither of us, we were both expecting that Microsoft would probably pander to an audience we were not interested in with the Xbox One, or the new Xbox.
Yeah.
But we had no idea it was going to be this bad.
Yeah.
We had no
idea. And it's funny, because with their E3 thing, they were trying to market to me and you. Like, that's what they're trying to do, and they still, like, I don't
because,
know.
Because
the game, it was, and it's like, just like Microsoft's whole attitude, the way they're doing everything is so wrong.
And it's just, it's all colored by even the games that do look cool out of Microsoft, and they have some interesting looking exclusives and stuff coming.
Yeah.
But even those are colored by this knowledge that the system itself is so restrictive and just so backwards looking, and just, it just doesn't.
No parallelograms.
It's just a fucking square black box that really restricts what you can do with it. And
yeah, that for some reason has a disc tray. Like, why do you? It kind of makes no fucking sense. Like, why do you even have the disc tray if you have to install every single game and you have to have an internet connection to use it? Just fucking make me download all the games at some point. Because at the very least, then I would have no expectation of having the kind of rights I would if I bought a physical product. It's like, it's the physical product part that's important. I don't necessarily expect, like, if I want to buy games entirely digitally and have the access to that and, like, be able to play it instantly the way they're, like, marketing it with the Xbox One, you can fucking do that on PS4. Like, they have the streaming stuff where you can play a game while you're downloading it, the games are tied to your account, if you buy them digitally, if that's what you want, you can do that with the PS4. But if you don't want to do that, you don't fucking have to. And that's the whole thing. It's about consumer choice and consumer rights. And Sony is winning that fight so much, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it seems like the only reason they would have that optical drive is to watch Blu-rays and DVDs because of their whole one mentality. And it seemed, but they've never even emphasized that. It's such an afterthought. They you know, deprioritize that behind live TV and shit. I guarantee you, people use physical film media than more than fucking live TV.
Yeah, live TV.
Yeah,
it's way of the future. Apparently,
no.
Yeah, no.
So yeah, I'm gonna say goodbye to Xbox over these next couple months, and then I think that's it.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah. Sony's. Like, fucking A, dude. It's so crazy.
They're working for us.
Yeah, exactly.
They want us to love them, and that's kind of what matters. You know, they want to say, here's why spending your money is a smart choice, and here's why we promise to make it, you know, good for you and stuff. It's not, give us $500, and who knows, we may sell all your information to the government.
Yeah.
You know?
And we're watching you while you sleep and get blowjobs.
Yes.
But yeah, no, fucking, man, Sony. Fucking Sony, Jesus Christ.
So
all I've been able to think for like the past like 12 hours is like, oh my God, Sony, holy shit.
And now that I think we're through this part of the cycle, I think it's just, I'm excited for November. I want to get a PS4.
Yeah.
I want to see what next-gen gaming's like. And hopefully put a lot of this, you know, back and forth behind us, so when we get to podcasting in November, we can just have our PS4 up here and play some games and talk about them.
Yeah, like, and it's one thing I'm curious about because neither console set a specific release date, but Microsoft did specifically say November, and Sony said this holiday. So it's like, there's no fucking way they're releasing the PS4 in December. Like, that would be dumb. Like, they're going to release it before Black Friday, but it's just weird that they said this holiday. So I'm curious to see when the PlayStation
4 comes out. Halloween. It'll come out October 31st.
Like, if the PlayStation 4 also comes out first, like, that would be the ultimate killing blow.
Yeah.
I think the ideal situation would be for both of the consoles to come out on the same day and just see how crazy that would be. Like, having, like, the dual midnight launch events at a GameStop and just have everybody, like, the Xbox fanboys and the Sony fanboys kill each other at the GameStops would be awesome.
And then all the GameStops have to close because people were murdered inside.
Yeah, and that fixes the used game bullshit. There you go. Done. Solved.
All right. Well, Sean, is there any more from E3 we want to talk about? Nintendo.
Yeah, we should talk about Nintendo. There's also Destiny had a long gameplay thing. Destiny looks awesome. It's basically like if Borderlands was really, really cool, like in terms of the gameplay of like it's a first-person shooter. You've got, looks like you have skill trees tied to individual weapons, which seems kind of crazy. I'm not sure if that's true, but that's kind of what it seemed like. But it's like you've got loot, you've got skills, you've got different classes, and then they have sort of like dynamic, you know, kind of like the Division from Ubisoft and Journey from this generation of like You just run into other dudes. There's like a big public event where a big fucking like dropship dropped a mech off and then everybody had to fight it. So the Destiny reveal was really fucking cool. Again, multi-platform titles are the awesome things coming. Like, Destiny's obviously, it's multi-platform, but yeah. Like,
it sounds like it will have some exclusivity.
Yeah, yeah. Stuff Destiny's going to have, they've said exclusive content. They've not said it specifically what, but there will be exclusive content from Destiny.
And you know, with Bungie making a new game this ambitious, maybe it'll help us get over Halo.
Yeah, yeah.
Different kind of game, but you know.
It looks really fucking cool. And then all the stuff, like just like to cap off, I should also say, I think it's really interesting the way a lot of these studios like Ubisoft and EA, and there's some of the Sony stuff showed this a little bit too, looking at these companion devices integrating iPhones and iPads to like cool little features. Like one thing I didn't mention in The Division, the Ubisoft like MMO third-person shooter thing, there was a part where a dude on like an iPad or a tablet device, so many people own tablet devices that are not iPads, right? Like,
no, they don't.
Yeah. Like, he came in with, like, a little drone thing, and I think he cast, like, a buff and shot a couple of dudes, and he's like, hey, oh, sorry, guys, I've got to go. Like, just seeing that, that's a really cool idea, and seeing that implemented in a lot of games across the board, regardless of who's making them, is really encouraging to see, like, okay, like, people are actually giving some thought and doing some interesting things with this concept now, and so that's another cool thing to look forward to from the future of video games. But then now, let's cap our discussion with Nintendo's direct thing that came out this morning that I watched.
They chose to sit out E3,
yeah,
but they did do a conference,
yeah,
as they've been doing a lot lately, their Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, so the Nintendo Direct, and it was, I thought, really lame. Like, there are a lot of people who have a much more positive response to it. Like, I've been really critical of Nintendo in the past because I've not really been into a Nintendo game, like, really heavily since maybe Super Smash Bros. Brawl, or not Brawl, like Melee. Like, I've never really got heavily invested in a Wii title. And, like, I love Ocarina of Time in Super Mario 64 so goddamn much, and I really like Super Mario World. And that's kind of, like, the Nintendo games I'm like, I fucking love those games.
Well,
I'm
a bigger Nintendo gamer. There's a lot of ongoing, you know, Nintendo series that I enjoy, and I think I own a 3DS, for instance, because, you know, there's a lot of damn good games on the 3DS. More than
Fire
I can
Emblem.
With. I'm
Fire
so
Emblem
excited.
Is fucking awesome. That is the other, that's another Sony or Nintendo thing I love.
Fire Emblem Awakening is something I will definitely be playing this summer. I'm playing the new Animal Crossing right now. It's fantastic. And there's some good stuff. But overall, I just think Nintendo, as we've said before, my disillusion with it is they are so bad at making hardware and so bad at infrastructure and all these things that I would be so thrilled if Nintendo, as a console developer, stopped doing that and just made games, because
made games.
Nobody's better at it as a first-party studio at making games.
That's definitely true.
They really know how to do it, and they still, I mean, Super Mario Galaxy 2 was one of the 10 best games of this last generation. No question, it was a masterpiece. And I don't think there's many people who would argue with that, who played that game. And
I didn't play it, and I would argue with it.
Okay. It was great. And there were a lot of other good, you know, titles like that. But, you know, just the Nintendo franchises. And I'm sort of at a critical mass point where it's like, I'm not going to buy a console for the two games I'm going to play on Nintendo this year.
Yeah,
like, my brother wants to buy a Wii U to buy the remake of Wind Waker. I'm like, Thomas, that's stupid. Don't. Why would
like
you do that?
Of all the games, that is the last one you should buy a Wii U for, because you can just play Wind Waker.
And it looks
also
gorgeous,
you know,
still.
Like Wind Waker looks really nice. That game has a lot of problems. I always think it's weird how people just shove that aside and be like, but it looks so cool.
Anyway, and what I was trying to say is it still looks good if you boot it up on your Wii or GameCube.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not degraded or anything. That game, because of the way they did the graphics, it's, I think, pretty much timeless graphically. But anyway, so that's kind of where we're coming from. I have no intentions of really ever purchasing a Wii U, and nothing at this conference really would sway me. But what did we learn at Nintendo Direct?
Yeah, so Nintendo Direct, one, I should say, it was so fucking annoying because their stream sucked. And, it, like, not just for me, like, I went
everyone
online
on Twitter
and checked.
Was, yeah.
Yeah, everyone was just like, yeah, I couldn't see most, like, the stream didn't start for me until, like, 5 minutes in, and it was, like, all of a sudden I was like, okay, I can find the stream, and then the stream died, and so I, like, went to, like, a bunch of different, like, websites to try to find a, like, better for, like, source of the stream. Eventually that happened, and then it just kept on pausing all the way throughout. And at some, like, at one point, it just got stuck on video and was playing audio. Like, that's when you came in, and you started watching with me, and when that happened. That was kind of weird. And then I went back and, like, watched it properly after it got released in, like, a not streaming, they fucked it up format. And so the stuff they talked about was Pokemon X and Y will be coming October 12th. And now Jigglypuff is a fairy. Fairy, a fairy-type Pokemon, because that's what we need, right? More different types of Pokemon. It's not complex enough. We need more different, like, configurations of super effective and weaknesses and... Pokemon
X.
We don't need and fairy types are super effective against Dragon.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, because, you know, Navi would beat the shit out of Smaug. I'm damn sure of that, so...
I think Pokemon X and Y is an interesting case where
they actually look kind of interesting.
I will buy Pokemon X or Y because I am curious and I will want to talk about it on the podcast and stuff. I want to be informed. And I've been keeping up with Pokemon to a certain degree. I did not play Black 2 or White 2, but I played Black and it was a really nice step forward. It was a very good Pokemon game. And Pokemon X, what disappoints me so far from what I've seen is that the actual moving around towns and stuff looks like it has been infinitely improved. It's in 3D, graphics look really nice, it looks like the games are coming to life in a way they have not in the past.
Yeah.
But the battle screens to me, I watched some gameplay videos the other day that were on the 3DS that you could just watch on their eStore and in 3D, and the sprites are no longer sprites, they're 3D models, but... nothing else has changed. They're still in their two circles, and that's it. It's like they haven't
actually... Like, you still only have four moves.
As far as I know, it's... that the video I watched did not show the actual battle, like, menu system. But, you know, it was just... it's too bad because I think this would be a nice opportunity to really shake things up. Maybe they won't. They could still be great games. I don't know. I will definitely check them out, especially because it's super easy to buy 3DS games now. You can just download them. And they've cut the price on all of them down to $35, which is nice.
Nice.
On new titles. So yeah, October 12th. Nice that they're coming out worldwide.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But like my favorite thing about the fairy type Pokemon thing is that, you know, because like they had like a picture of like some of their new fairy type Pokemon. One, of course, was another Eevee evolution, because it's really weird how we just like that Pokemon just like every couple of years all of a sudden it's like, holy shit, it can evolve into a completely new creature. We had no idea it could. Like, what the fuck does Eevee's DNA look like?
I assume it depends on something on, like, the region he's in. Like, there's radiation that affects only Eevee and makes him evolve in weird ways, depending on where he is in the world.
But anyways, like, one of the things I love is that one of the Pokemon they showed was Jigglypuff is apparently a fairy. I thought it was interesting that they didn't show Clefairy being a fairy, because Clefairy has fairy in the name. It's Clefairy. But
is Clefairy still just normal type?
I don't know. Like, they didn't show it specifically. It's like if I was going to show a Pokemon to symbolize the new fairy type of Pokemon, it would be the Pokemon called Clefairy. But you mentioning normal type, that's the thing I find hilarious about it, is that it's like, at what point with Pokemon games are they going to like have so many different types that it'll be so specific that normal will just go away? There will just no longer be normal type Pokemon or moves, because it's like, we've got fur type Pokemon, and that's what an Eevee is. It's a fur Pokemon. It's like,
well, it's what Pokemon needs to do is stop focusing on making new Pokemon, and I think do the Persona kind of thing where the Pokemon are the Pokemon, but it's how you play around that.
Yeah, and I think like Pokemon needs to stop doing the feature creep thing that sort of like Assassin's Creed has been doing for a while now. Of just like, we're just piling more and more and more and more shit onto the exact same framework. They need to adjust the framework. Like, we don't need 1 billion Pokemon. You know, not every single Pokemon game has to have three different starters that are fire, grass, and water. Not every single Pokemon game has to have, like, your legendary birds equivalent. Not every single Pokemon has to have the format of, I'm going to beat two gyms, and then I'm going to get cut, and then I'm going to beat another gym, and then I'm going to, like, rock throw. Like, you don't need to... that does not have to be in every single Pokemon game forever.
And
you can change the formula.
And, you know, Black was a huge step in the right direction in that story-wise and in terms of the progression of things, it did change things up. It still was three starter Pokemon and eight gyms, but within that those paradigms, there were other... you know, it wasn't, you know, here's cut, here's that. I remember specifically they played with HMs. There was some interesting stuff they did with the villains in that game where it really felt like this is... There were variations on Pokemon I, as a Pokemon player, had not seen before, but it needs to be more.
Did they ever eat Pokemon during Pokemon Black? Because that's the thing I'm always curious about, is like, do they eat the Pokemon?
Pokemon Black was fascinating because the whole villain, like the antagonist structure, was all about how this like terrorist group that is trying to free Pokemon from their masters because they think Pokemon is tyranny, because Pokemon is tyranny.
Yeah.
And what was so fascinating about that is that it was they actually were kind of interesting moral discussions going on. And I actually never finished Black, but I just can tell if you actually got to the end, they would come out on the side of the...
Yeah, like there's not going to be some sort of moral choice where it's like you side with them and it's like you overthrow the existing regime. It's like,
but how?
Set my Pokemon free! And then the game ends with you like literally letting all of your Pokemon go. But you can still walk around the world, and like that's it.
But what?
And you walk into like wild grass and then get killed.
How great would that have been if that's what they had done, though? And then the next game had to deal with that.
Yeah,
it'd be so phenomenal.
Yeah,
but it would never happen.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's see.
So that's Pokemon. The next, like the big thing that came out, and this is sort of one of my things with the Nintendo Press, like the Nintendo Direct, that why I'm so disappointed with it is there was not a single thing that I was pleasantly surprised at. Everything in this Nintendo Direct completely fucking predictable. Except for one thing that I'm not even a fan of. But so we all knew they were going to show off the new Mario 3D game. Worst kept secret in the world. They might have even fucking just outright said
it
at some point.
They did.
So the new Mario, the new like 3D style Mario game on the Wii U is Super Mario 3D World, a successor to Super Mario 3D Land, which was on the 3DS because it was actually taking advantage of the 3D. And now it looks like it's doing the sort of like... Then 3D Land having sort of hybrid 3D, 2D, like some sections were kind of 2D-ish. Like the camera sort of pulled back and was like...
Sort of. It is much more complex than that because it did play with depth so heavily and...
Yeah, but it's not... I'm saying it's not like Galaxy or 64 where it's like China an over-shoulder view camera like all the time kind of thing.
You're correct. Like, it's pretty minor on the side-scrolling side of things and it's never really traditional side-scrolling.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm curious about is that... I don't know how you do the dynamics of that game without actual stereoscopic 3D.
I mean, I don't imagine they're actually bringing that mechanic in any way. Like, I think it's sort of a similar style in general.
And I can understand that, but I'm just saying it was more than a mechanic. That's what that game was in terms of how you play it. It was a different sort of platforming and just how much that was important. So I don't understand the point of continuing that brand because I think you could probably call this something else. Like Super Mario U or whatever you want to call it.
I mean, it looked to me that it was mostly, like on the face of it, because I haven't played Super Mario 3D Land, but it just looked because of, like, the way the camera moves, where it's, like, the camera's a lot more pulled back. It's not, like, this, like, closer over-the-shoulder kind of thing than it was in the Galaxy 64 games. But, yeah, like, Super Mario 3D World.
And, I
and I think it's because it doesn't have a Galaxy style, so, like, it looks like it kind of has a more 2D Mario style, like... We go to different worlds, and they all have, like, cool different themes and stuff.
Which is what 3D Land
did. Yeah, I think that's a part of it, too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm sure it'll be a great game. 3D Land is one of my favorite games of the last few years. It is terrific. It is almost on par with Galaxy 2. And so I'm sure they'll do a good job. I think it makes sense to take that team that did 3D Land and Galaxy 2 and 1 before it
that have been doing
hitting it out of the park with those and do it. I mean, you know, it's not a game I'm going to buy a Wii U for, as I said, but, you know, if a Wii U dropped into my lap, I would play this game, but I definitely feel I'm kind of happy that they're just continuing this line because I know I don't have to buy a Wii U for it because I can play the first game on my 3DS.
Yeah.
And, you know.
That was one of the disappointing things about this 3D Mario reveal also is that it was like, I mean, the big thing was they're sort of doing the new Super Mario Brothers four-person co-op thing, but doing it in 3D, which might be cool. Mm-hmm. Like, that's... I'm not a big fan of platformers in any ways, and even if I was, like, I can't see myself wanting to play that type of game multiplayer, but...
Yeah, I don't know how it works very clearly on the 2D side-scrolling, you know, New Super Mario Bros. I don't know how it'll work in 3D, but it sounds like a fun mechanic, and obviously it's something you can ignore if you want to.
Yeah, and one of the things I like is that they're bringing back, like, American Super Mario Bros. 2 style Mario, Luigi, Toad, and Peach instead of Toad 2... The player three and four just get fucked. And then also it looks like they have their, like, Peach can float, Toad runs a little bit faster, Luigi has a higher jump, like Super Mario Bros. 2 style. That's kind of cool to see. But, like, other than that, they're, like, the big thing, and this is actually incorporated into the logo, is that, like, they have a new power-up that is a cat suit that lets him climb and do claw attacks, and, like, the logo has a little cat tail. And Cat Suit Mario, I think, is really fucking dumb. I don't know if that's just me, but when I saw that, I was like, okay, yeah, I don't need to give a shit about this game. Like,
I kind of felt the same way, because I understand the need to do new power-ups, but that one just kind of strikes me as lame.
And it being, like, this super heavy focus. Like, all over the demo, and it's like, it's like, the goddamn logo.
And it just seems to me like a watered-down version of the Tanuki suit, which is what Super Mario 3D Land was all built around, and did a great job with it. And the cat thing, it's like, I don't quite, like... I'd have to play it to see, because one of the brilliant things about Land is that it was the best implementation of the Tanuki suit yet in the Mario series, because that was so integrally tied into how you do 3D, because you could move back and forth dynamically in the air. Mm. And maybe the cat suit is like, from the ground up, it was important to the platforming of this game. I don't know, but it looks kind of dumb.
Yeah. And I'm really disappointed that Peach is in it, and she's got a cat, like a pink cat suit, but it's like pajama-style cat suit. It's not like a super sexy cat suit. What the fuck, Nintendo?
But hopefully,
what the fuck?
Hopefully now we'll see cosplaying cat Peaches at Comic-Con.
Exactly. And they will make a sexy cat Peach.
Nintendo furries will be so happy.
Exactly.
All right.
So that's... And then moving on from that completely predictable and uneventful announcement at the Nintendo Direct was yet another completely predictable and uneventful announcement at the Nintendo Direct, which
Mario
is
Kart.
Mario Kart 8, which I love they're keeping the number. They're just like, fuck it, it's the 8th goddamn Mario Kart, it's Mario Kart 8, we're sticking with this. Like, last one was 7, this one is 8, next one will be 9.
I'm glad it looks like they are kind of dropping the U thing. None of these games have U as their title.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wasn't thinking about that.
Yeah, but Mario Kart 8, it's got some hover car mechanics now, as I understand it.
I think it's like, I don't think it's hover car. It's like, I mean, it's got, and I think they said this was in another Mario, like, I stopped playing Mario Kart games really at Double Dash, but like, there was like, you could, I think there was, like, it reminded me of the Sega Sonic and All-Stars Transformed, where there are like sections where people were flying, there are sections where like, your car turned into a boat.
That happens in Mario Kart 7. Those
okay.
are both from 7.
So, yeah. So that happens still in 8. You can also have the motorcycles from the Wii 1. And then there's like a gravity thing where they were like driving on walls and then driving upside down. Which that could be cool. Like, I don't...
Again,
they didn't show a lot. Like,
again, it's a case where... And I think this is kind of summarizes my philosophy with Wii U at this point. I'm sure it'll be a fun game.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's going to be a bad game, but it's like, it doesn't look...
I'm not going to buy a...
Yeah.
It's like, not a system seller, because I already have Mario Karts 1 through 7, and I can go play those, and there's nothing wrong with them, and this does not add anything so compelling that I want to buy a system for it.
Exactly, and it's like, it just feels so predictable, and like, what they're doing doesn't look... And to be fair, they didn't show a whole lot from it, but it's like, nothing really jumped out at me as like, oh, holy shit,
well,
like, this is a new Mario Kart.
But we also know what Mario Kart looks like, and you know, we can expect, we can fill
yeah,
in the gaps.
Like, I can expect. Like, there could be a trick up their sleeve, but I don't know. Let's see, then there's Wii Party. Here's where you get the U stuff.
Okay.
Wii Party U and Wii Fit U, which I wish they'd just call it Wii U Party and Wii U Fit. Like, Wii Party U sounds so awkward.
Wii Party U!
Yeah, those titles are being delayed until later this year. I don't even know if Wii Party U was ever announced before, because... Like, it was one of the interesting things about the Nintendo Direct, is that they were very upfront about the, we did not support this console very well so far with games, and we're kind of sorry about that, and it seemed like one of the reasons was, it sounded like this Wii Party U was meant to come out in, like this, like, just spring, but it got delayed, and that's one of the reasons why there was just nothing, like, absolutely no Wii U title, is because there was going to be something that it got delayed for whatever reason. So, that happened, like, Wii Fit U and Wii Party U. If that interests you, there you go. The Art Academy, an art thing, because people draw stuff on the Miiverse. That's what I got from that. Like, it looked, maybe it could be interesting if that's what you're looking for, like the tablet stuff being used to draw and like share it on the Miiverse. It looked kind of cool, but again, not like my thing. Then they talked a little bit about Legend of Zelda Wind Waker HD, which will be coming out in October. I think there was something about like you could make the boat go faster when you were sailing. It's just like them admitting, like, yeah, this sailing stuff fucking sucked. It's not fun to just hold the control stick forward for 10 minutes to try to get to an island. It's like, well, okay, you figured that part out, Nintendo. That's one of the problems with Wind Waker.
Can I talk about this one?
Sure, if you want to address Wind Waker HD.
No, the next one?
Okay.
All
the
right.
Next one is, and this is the one where it's like, this is the thing that I was not expecting, and so, like, it's a surprising that I didn't think this title like this would be announced, but then it's actually really disappointing when I realize that Retro, the studio that made Metroid Prime and then Donkey Kong Country Returns, great fucking studio, Metroid Prime is an amazing fucking game. They have been off the grid for a really long time working on something, and we didn't know what. And so it's like, that was one of the things that I was looking forward to, is like, what's going to get revealed? And then I didn't realize right away until I was thinking about it that they did reveal the new Retro title, and it is Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze coming to the Wii U.
I want to stress, I have been playing on the Nintendo 3DS. They just ported Donkey Kong Country Returns, which is a great game. It's an awesome platformer. Rare hit that one out of the park. Or Retro?
Retro.
Sorry,
yeah.
Retro hit that one out of the park. It's really fun. The 3DS port is, it's got some issues, but it's really fun still. You can use the buttons and not motion control, so it's great. So anyway, I have actively been playing this game. And Sean was watching the Nintendo Direct conference. I walked in. This thing started. I'm like, why are they showing footage from Donkey Kong Country Returns? And for about 2 minutes, neither of us could figure out that this was a new game.
I was with you. I was like, because it looked like Donkey Kong Country Returns to me, too. I was like,
not a single thing in that trailer looked new. Not the graphics. Nothing. And keep in mind, I've been playing the watered-down, super pixelated 3DS version. Yeah. And this was just like, are they re-releasing it or something? And then it's like, oh no, this is a new one. Apparently it's in HD. Well, they haven't updated a single model or texture.
Yeah.
So it's in, you know, finger quotes HD.
Well, okay, I should say about this, because it was something when I watched it, not streamed version, or when we were talking about this, like, right after the Nintendo Direct, I told you that the Super Mario 3D World, is that what it's called? What, the Super new 3D Mario game? That I thought that looked really bad when I watched it on the stream. When I ended up watching like an actual like HD version that didn't have the artifacting and compression from the stream, I thought that game looked a lot better. So that might have been part of the issue.
Okay.
Like, I will say I actually really like the way the Mario game looks now that I've like seen it in not a shitty format, but...
But that Donkey Kong Country one, it's a little weird to me because I didn't... I guess maybe Returns just sold better than I thought. I mean, they did do a 3D release of it now.
Yeah.
And they're putting some assets behind this, I guess, but... I would rather see Retro do a new Metroid Prime.
Yeah, or just something completely new. Like, I'd love to see, like... That's just so disappointing to me. It's like, it would be if, like, an EA Respawn came out and it was like, these guys haven't made a game since Modern Warfare 2. Like, these are the guys who revolutionized first-person shooters of Modern Warfare 1. And they're like, we're making Call of Duty Modern Warfare 5. We've been repurchased by Activision, and here it is. And it's like... No! Why don't we make something new? It was like that.
Yeah.
It was really disappointing. Then they showed a trailer for Bayonetta 2 that when I actually like watched the trailer and not shitty stream version where it paused every 2 seconds. Actually looked kind of cool. I played the demo of Bayonetta 1 and it didn't grab me. I know a lot of people really like Bayonetta 1. Bayonetta 2 looks kind of cool. It's weird that it's coming out on the Wii U because it's so not a Nintendo-type game. Like, it's like, you know, Bayonetta is supposed to be like this super sexy character. She's got a new haircut that... makes her look like... I never liked the Bayonetta character design before. Her new haircut makes her look not really creepy to me, so Bayonetta 2, she doesn't look creepy to me. So that's my recommendation. Then, let's see, there was some other stuff before we get to this last one. The new Xenoblade Chronicles, that was a really late JRPG that came out on the Wii that had another trailer that looked really cool. Like, that was something that had a trailer a while ago for the Wii U. That also, like, it's easily the best-looking game I've seen on the Wii U, and it looks awesome. Like, I don't know a lot about the actual game stuff. I know people really like Xenoblade Chronicles 1. So that was kind of the... Even though, like, I have no real interest in playing it, like, just from an outsider's perspective, I was like, that looks like a cool game. Like, if I had a Wii U, that is a game I could get behind. And that was, like, one of the... really the only games I really felt that way about. And then, let's see, they talked a little bit about Pikmin 3. Pikmin 3 is still happening.
Oh, I forgot about it.
And there's they've got some indie stuff coming out. And they said DuckTales Remastered was in their indie stuff, which is coming from Capcom. Capcom, not exactly an indie developer. Like, I know people use that term really broadly. They don't always literally mean a game that is self-published by the developer. Capcom isn't even close. Capcom is one of the primary publishers and developers. Like, they don't fucking... They're not indie, for God's sake.
Well, it's like the new indie movie coming out this weekend in one theater, Man of Steel.
Exactly.
From an indie film studio, Warner Brothers Entertainment.
Yeah, from that visionary indie avant-garde director, Zack Snyder.
Yes.
Yeah. And Christopher Nolan. He's only made these really small, low-budget movies he basically made out of his own goddamn pocket.
Yes.
But anyways, and then also Wonderful 101, that game continues to look kind of cool, but I still don't really know what it is in terms of a game.
Didn't we learn the name of the new Zelda 3DS game?
A Link Between Worlds, I think, something like that.
Something really fucking clunky and dumb.
Yeah, it's... At least it's not Link to the Past 2, so they've got some wiggle room of, like, why are you trying to shoehorn this, like, a Legend of Zelda sequel?
Yeah.
The only time that's ever happened is Legend of Zelda 2, and that was in the 80s, so... Yeah, so they, but that wasn't even at the Nintendo Red Direct, that was afterwards. But then, the last thing, the thing we all knew was happening, because, again, like, the 3D Mario and the 3D Mario Kart, the Mario Kart, that we all, like, we knew was going to come out, they also, the new Super Smash Bros., which, interestingly, does not have anything after it. It was, like Halo, apparently it's just Super Smash Bros., or they just haven't decided on what to call it.
Super Smash Bros. Carnage.
Yes. I'm hoping, like, super... Because, you know, Melee and Brawl are really good, but, like, Carnage is too intense. And there's
Love
no,
having.
There's not a lot of other words you can use for, like, fighting. So it's like, other than it's like Super Smash Brothers fight. I'm personally behind either Super Smash Brothers tussle or Super Smash Brothers roughhousing. Like, those are my two. That's what I want to see. I'm hoping, because they're running out. Like, Melee and Brawl were really great, and there's not a lot else.
Yeah, I'm. If they
Super
call
Smash it, Brothers bar fight.
If they call it tussle, I will buy that.
Yeah, Super Smash. Oh, perfect, because there's a version of Super Smash Brothers, the new Super Smash Brothers on the 3DS and the Wii U. We can get our cake and eat it too. 3DS version is Super Smash Brothers tussle. Wii U version is Super Smash Brothers roughhousing. Beautiful. Fixed it. Solved your problem, Nintendo. Call me. But yeah, they had a like a sort of cinematic trailer with some gameplay stuff. They like showed a handful of like already people you knew were going to be in the next Smash Brothers, like Link and Mario and Pikachu. I don't think they specifically showed Jigglypuff, which is weird because Jigglypuff was on the mind. Maybe Clefairy's going to be in the next Super Smash Brothers, and they're like,
she's always an item, but
yeah. But yeah, no, Jigglypuff was one of the fighters from the original Super Smash Brothers.
No, but Clefairy's.
I thought you were talking about Jigglypuff.
No.
Yeah, no, but they showed there's, you know, the characters that were in every Super Smash Brothers up until now will continue to be in Super Smash Brothers.
But now we have the villager
from Animal Crossing, which was actually kind of funny, and it like was a weird moment where it's like, oh yeah, this is like the one Nintendo franchise they did not absolutely pillage and just like to desperately try to find another character to shove into a Smash Brothers game after Brawl. And then they're like big, and this is something like this. I've always thought this character would be perfect, so I wasn't really surprised when I saw it. In retrospect, you should be surprised, because he has not been in anything forever, is Mega Man is now going to be, like, at least there might be more third-party characters in the future, but like Sonic and, weirdly, Solid Snake in the past, Mega Man is going to be a third-party character. That was kind of cool. Played some awesome Mega Man remix music in his section.
Yeah, I'll talk about this for a minute.
Sure.
I watched the full trailer online later just to see it in nice, you know, non-streaming quality HD.
Looks pretty good.
It looked okay. I didn't ever think I would be this apathetic towards Smash Bros.
Brawl's a really good game, but I feel like I kind of got over Smash Brothers with Melee. Like, and Brawl felt
perfect.
Kind of like, yeah, Brawl kind of, they stuffed so much stuff, but like, into that game, but a lot of it didn't really work well. Like, the final Smash stuff I never thought was really well implemented. It always
was
game-breaking.
I also thought certain characters controlled more poorly.
Yeah,
Mario.
Certainly, yeah, like, the balance on the characters was the worst part. Particularly the character, like, Captain Olimar was completely useless. Salt Snake was only useful if you were a complete fucking bitch with that character and just, like, spam the rocket launcher. And then Ike was just, he, like, playing as Ike was like playing with God mode. He was so fucking powerful, it was ridiculous. Like, you know, Smash Brothers is not a competitive fighting game, it is a party game, but you need to have a level of balance that it's like, I can pick Jigglypuff, and Jigglypuff kind of sucks, but if you know how to use Jigglypuff, you can do some cool stuff with Jigglypuff and pull out a match okay.
Yeah.
But it's like, if someone played Ike in Brawl, it was like, well, fuck. Like, unless I play as Link, like the character I have, or Ike, like, Link is the character I play a lot of Brawl on, or a lot of Melee with, so it's like, I know that character really well. That was the only other character that could ever stand a chance against anyone playing as Ike for me, mm-hmm. So.
And I think, just for me, it's the sort of series where, because it's not a super complex series, it doesn't have an ongoing story or anything.
Yeah.
I think Melee was perfect. I mean, that is just a perfect video game. They got it just down pat.
Obviously,
and
like, Brawl was not able to, like, because Melee, like, they move so well, and there's not a whole lot else you can do, I feel, with, like, that style of game in terms of, like, the move set to change it up. That's,
even,
like, Brawl that didn't, like, touch it almost at all.
No, and even if graphics mattered to Nintendo, they don't matter to Smash Bros., really.
Yeah.
Melee looks gorgeous to this day. I played it the other day on my Wii, you know, got it running in the right progressive mode, and it looked really nice. And it controls perfectly to the degree where you had to use GameCube controllers to play Brawl.
Yeah. And
Brawl looks no different. Brawl actually, in some ways, looks inferior to me, because the Wii just kind of, everything on the Wii kind of looks like shit.
Yeah.
And I just think this new one, it just looks like Smash Brothers, and for me, it's the case where, if I want to play Smash Brothers, there are three phenomenal games I can go play right now, and I like them all a lot, and they hold up 100%.
Exactly, yeah, like, I feel the exact same way, where it's like, because also, like, you know, there have been some people saying this, like, but, you know, the online stuff is actually going to work with Wii U, and it's like, who wants to play a Super Smash Bros. Game online? Like, Super Smash Bros. Is a fucking party game.
And here's the other issue, is that I would... when I first heard they were doing this on the 3DS, I'm like, oh, that could be fun to have it on the go.
Yeah,
but wait,
why? Yeah, exactly. That was the one that was like, why would you ever play a handheld Smash Bros.? Like, it's a party game. Like, the whole point is to get, like, your friends together on a couch and just play, like, fucking, like, 3 hours straight of just Smash Bros., like, where everybody's picking a new character every single match. It's like, you switch up the items all the time. Like, that's the point of Smash Bros., and that's super fun. But you're not getting any better than Melee with that, like, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I still, to this day, sometimes get together with my friends and be like, pull out a fucking GameCube and be like, let's play some goddamn Super Smash Bros. Melee.
It's great, and I just don't... It's just one of those franchises that I think has run its course, and not in a bad way, it's just, you know...
Yeah,
you did
see a lot of expansion.
There is no expansion. I think that trailer we saw today proved it, because that looks exactly like the reveal trailers for the last two games.
Yeah.
And... You know, again, I have no, there's nothing about that they can reveal about the next Smash Bros. That would make me feel like that it's got something that the other games don't have.
Yeah.
You know, even if, you know, they have Mega Man, well, that's kind of cool, I guess, but I don't, Smash Bros. Is not lessened to me because it does not have Mega Man.
Yeah.
I agree. You know, if Nintendo had new IPs, say, in the last 10 years,
yeah,
that would be worth it.
Yeah, that's like one of the craziest things when you think about it, is that Super Smash Bros. Brawl came out like 7 or 6 years ago. And in that time, Nintendo has not created a single original character with which they can populate it, other than, it was not in the trailer, but they then revealed, I believe, like, I didn't, like, read the article really in depth, but I saw the headline at the very least, and, like, a picture, that apparently one of the new characters in Super Smash Bros. Roughhousing is going to be the Wii Fit Trainer.
Oh, God.
So, that is the standout Nintendo original character from the past 6 years that were, like... It's a perfect fit. We've got to get this in the next Smash Brothers. Is the Wii Fit Trainer.
I just feel completely apathetic. I don't feel positive or negative. It's just I don't need this game in my life.
Yeah.
And that's kind of sad to me. And
yeah, in the second they are like, and like the last character reveal as, and you, and it's your me is a playable character in Super Smash Brothers Roughhousing, I'm like, I'm out. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Second the a me touches Smash Brothers, I'm running away. Like, fuck the Miis, fuck everything about them. That would be terrible. I am willing to bet that that is going to happen on Super Smash Bros.
Of course it's going to.
Yeah,
it's on every other one.
Yeah,
I mean,
so Miis are going to be the playable character, and it's going to be dumb, their moveset's going to be stupid, and everyone's going to hate it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hate it. But the weird thing about this is I have to always remember that, like, I have a... Like, I don't love a lot of the Nintendo's IPs. I don't like the way Nintendo does stuff. I'm super tired of the way Nintendo makes their games. But a lot of people don't feel that way. So it's like, after the Nintendo Direct, you know, did my rounds online, sort of like looking at public opinion. Everybody fucking ate it up. I was like, it's like, this is all I need is a Smash Brothers on Wii U. And it's like, really? Like, you need to, like, you need nothing else. You don't need to see any, like, they didn't even show... Like, all they really showed that was, like, substantive of Super Smash Bros. Roughhousing was Mega Man and the villager from Animal Crossing. And
otherwise, it's identical graphically, too. I mean, it's
Like, graphically, it does not look that impressive. Like, they didn't show anything mechanically in the game that will change in any way. Like, they didn't show, like, look at these, like, grand stages or something that, like, were, like, there's nothing, like... mind-blowing about it.
And there could be something mind-blowing coming in the future.
Who knows?
But if they had that, they would have
put it in the reveal trailer. It's like, I don't understand why people are so excited.
No.
Like, I can see with the new Mario game, like, that looks like, I'm just not really into Mario games, but it's like, at least that's probably going to have a lot of interesting new stuff to it. Mario Kart 8 probably will, like, even then, it's just like, it's Mario Kart 8. Like, at some point,
But even then, I feel a little more excited about Mario Kart 8 because I feel like there's more room for expansion there. There's never been the... I mean, the Double Dash is pretty fucking awesome, but I don't
know if
there's...
Double Dash is really fucking awesome.
Yeah. But it's not... You know, there isn't a Melee level that's the Mario Kart.
And with a racing game, at the very least, there's always, like... You can always do it a little bit more. You can make the racing part more fun, whereas with the fighting stuff, like, the Melee controlled so well...
Here's my biggest question about Super Smash Bros. Roughhousing.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you control it? Because you have the
like,
Wii U
Pro controller is going to be my guess. Like, it's probably not going to take one iota of functionality from the fucking gamepad. Like,
of course it's not,
like,
because you can't do multiplayer on it. But, like, will it... I guess you can also do the control setup with the Wiimote and, like, Nunchuck.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know, it's going to be another game where it's all based on control schemes from two generations ago now, because they haven't implemented a sane, normal control scheme yet on a Nintendo system.
Yeah, that's like the saddest thing about the Wii U, whenever I realize it, is like, oh god, the Wii U still uses Wiimotes for multiplayer stuff. Like, that's like one of the things that's like, one of the major reasons I'll never get a Wii U is like, I just don't want to ever hold a Wiimote again. That controller is just dumb. I don't like using it.
It feels flimsy. Have you been to a Best Buy lately where they have, like,
they
are now selling Wiimotes, but as Wii U controllers? They're just rebranded as Wii U?
No, I haven't seen that.
They all say now Wii U on them. They have the Wii U color scheme, and they just have
Well, that's so smart of Nintendo to take this, you know, this console that when it got released was heavily mistaken by the larger public as just being an add-on to the already existing Wii, and then marketing peripherals for the Wii for that new console that is being mistaken for the Wii as if it was just the Wii again. Their marketing is so brilliant.
Alright, so overall, Nintendo Direct was boring and sucked.
Yeah, I thought it was really dull. Some people really liked it online because Smash Brothers.
Alright, so here's the question.
Alright, question.
Is Wii U dead? Is it just dead?
The interesting thing about the Mario game is that it's coming out October this year. And I think Mario Kart was spring 2014. Pikmin 3 is coming out in September. Smash Brothers is a ways off, like maybe holiday 2014, maybe even holiday 2015, I don't know. But I would not fully pronounce it dead yet. The Mario Kart on, I think it's Mario Kart 7 or it's Mario Kart on the Wii, is one of the best-selling games of all time. I don't know how or why, but it is.
But you have
so
to.
Mario Kart 8 might be like this. With the Nintendo stuff, it's hard for me to tell.
But here's the difference, is that when Mario Kart Wii came out, the Wii was already installed to the point where it was able to do that. It wasn't, Mario Kart Wii did not come out to sell Wiis. It came out to sell software.
And weird plastic circles.
Yeah. I have no expectation that it's going to, I mean, it'll sell some consoles, sure.
Yes.
But no, it's not going to, it's not
going to
sell.
I'm not expecting that it will. I'm just saying, I feel like I'm so distant from the people who are enthusiastic about Nintendo that I can't even say. Like, it's like,
but here's,
it doesn't, like, I don't think the Wii U will do well. I certainly don't think that at all. But I am leaving this window open of, like, I don't fucking know. Like, when this Mario game launches, like, people might go fucking crazy and buy every single Wii U. I have no fucking clue.
But my question is, what people? Because this audience is dwindling all the time because they're not expanding it in the slightest.
I'm saying I don't know it! The Wii sold so much, Jonathan! Why did that happen? That makes no sense! The Wii's a fucking piece of shit! I don't know! I don't know the answer to your questions! Only God knows that! And he's fucking with Nintendo, apparently.
But I'm saying, just looking at historical precedent, I think they are fundamentally different situations. I think the Wii, for one, launched.
I think so too, but Nintendo has surprised me amazingly in the past.
And they brought the 3DS, but I mean, the 3DS had a couple bad months, and that was it. People overwrite what a resurrection.
Yes.
It wasn't a resurrection. It was that it had a bad launch window, like every system ever invented, and then they pulled it out and put good games on it, and people bought it. You know?
Yes.
And that was, and I just, I think it's confusing, I think
it's confusing too. But.
And I think the biggest thing is the Wii sold what it did because the Wii was, as shitty as it was, it offered people something that had not been done before, and that was exciting, and it was marketing to a new audience that was being created of people, of like, you know, this casual gaming audience, this idea of families buying the Wii for their kids and stuff, and it was all being about that. It was, you know, it was a fundamentally different situation.
And then, like, everybody bought that Mario Kart. Like, it is, like, if you look at, forget what, like, the sales figures on it are just ridiculous.
Oh,
like,
they are, absolutely.
It's above, like, Call of Duty. It's like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
But, you know, that's because everyone had one, and everyone played that game,
and everyone apparently bought a Mario Kart, which is not something I would have expected. That's what I'm saying.
No.
I'm saying, like, I don't think the Wii U is going to do well at all. But Nintendo has surprised me in the past.
I know, and the big...
They have the potential to surprise me in the future.
The big...
With magical sales.
Obviously, these games are going to drive sales among the Nintendo hardcore enthusiasts. My question is whether or not they can bring kids back to the table who are not invested in the Wii U at all. That's just not a market they're pushing towards. Or they're trying to, but that's not where they're getting ground. And that's where they got...
But, like,
the
new Mario game might be what gets them ground with that market. Like, with the children.
I guess, but what children bought the Wii for, and I have several pairs of cousins who own Wiis, they don't know who Mario is and they don't give a shit. That was old shit to them because that's what old people played. They were there for Wii Sports and for the phishing games and for the just the stupid shit that the practically it was like shareware that they were putting out and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I think they came to Mario by symbiosis because Mario was big, and so they would buy Mario games like Mario Kart because everybody bought Mario Kart. But, you know.
I don't know. I think Mario has some sort of magical power to it that I do not understand. Yeah. I will never understand.
It's fine. We will see where it goes.
The Wii U.
I think we have podcasted enough.
I think so, too. I think...
Let's say some final thoughts.
Okay. Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony, holy fucking shit.
Good job, Sony.
Yeah.
Round of applause.
Seriously, good fucking job.
Yeah. We're excited for your system.
Yeah, and I'm super excited because, you know, all this stuff we have been talking about, with the exception of the Nintendo shit, all got revealed yesterday, which wasn't even E3 proper. Like, that was just press conference day. E3 proper started this morning and then goes until Thursday. So, like, there's going to be tons of demos and stuff. So now we get into, like, we've got the big reveals and shit out of the way. But now we get the nitty-gritty details, the demos, like, find out what is Killzone Shadowfall and what is Infamous Second Son and what the fuck is Rise, Son of Rome? Like, what are these gameplay mechanics and... You know,
and hopefully hear about how these consoles work.
Yeah, like journalists get hands-on with the controllers and the console interfaces, and we're going to get some juicy details about the specifics of the consoles in the future. Hopefully we'll probably maybe talk about that in some future podcast or something.
We'll see.
Yeah, I will continue my E3 watch regardless. But.
Yes, next week will be very busy because we will be talking Man of Steel, and let me assure you, there's a lot to talk about. So there's that, and we'll maybe roll some other stuff into that. But
yeah.
You know the drill. Go watch Man of Steel. Highly recommended. And
E3's still going on, still cool,
yep.
Still cool stuff coming out. So, still, Sony's still, holy shit, like, man.
And you get to be excited for The Last of Us coming out this week.
Oh,
also.
Fucking, yeah, goddamn, Last of Us. Fucking Jesus. Like, it's just Sony's, what Sony is doing is so amazing with just, because it was one of the things they highlighted in their press conferences. It's not like just that the PS4 is going to be really cool, but PS3 is going to have, like, one of its best years ever with, like, having The Last of Us and then Quantic Dream's Beyond Two Souls with Ellen Page and fucking Willem Dafoe.
I have,
like,
to play that
game. It's going
to
be in it, like, how that's coming out, like, October is sort of, like, sending it off, and then we get, like, Grand Theft Auto 5 multi-platform, like, around then, too. Like, this is just going to be a cool, good year for video games in general, even before the new consoles come out and we get to see, like, get that fresh blood in the market. It's like, they're giving the PS3 a hell of a fucking send-off with two... Well, one that, like, according to, like, the critical reaction, already, like, amazing success, and what looks like is going to be another, like, amazing, awesome game, and then we get the PS4, so...
Yay!
Sony, good on ya. I am looking forward to purchasing a PS4 this holiday season. And Microsoft, go fuck yourself. Like, seriously, holy shit.
You failed us, Microsoft. We trusted you...
And you sold us out to the man, literally.
Yes.
Literally. So that's that. Yeah. E3. I think this is enough podcasting, Jonathan.
I think so, too.
Time to pack this up, go home. I'm going to watch some demos. Good night. And, I don't know, Smash Brothers, I guess.